How the hell did you get in here?
Trick of the trade, my friend. Listen, I gave some more thought to the terms of our arrangement, Connie, and I decided that I'm no longer interested in working for your crappy little hedge fund.
Oh, good. Because I never really took your petty little threats seriously. What you claim to have is a copy of the delusional ramblings of a suicidal socialite. And if that printout even exists, there's no more validity to the accusations now than there was 18 years ago.
What I have is a video of your murdered henchman, Frank Stevens, tossing said socialite off a building. Not to mention an incriminating conversation between you and your whore about your complicity in framing David Clark.
And I'm assuming you have this video with you?
I wouldn't be that reckless. No, we have some negotiating to do first. Now, why don't you make me your best offer, and I'll see what I can do about keeping that recording out of the hands of federal prosecutors.
You really are a son of a bitch, aren't you?
Yes. It does appear that you despicable people are starting to rub off on me.
You're listening to Nowhere Moment, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Very clever dinner. Appetizing food fitting neatly into interesting round pie.
It's a quiche.
How do you spell?
Well, you don't spell it, son. You eat it.
Dong has only been in our country a short time, Fred. I think we could all help him assimilate.
Oh.
Long Duck Dong is about your age, Sam. You two should have a lot to chat about.
I love visiting with Grandma and Grandpa and writing letters to parents and pushing lawn mowing machines so Grandpa's hyena don't get disturbed.
Hernia!
Oh, yes, indeed. He does the dishes and helps with the laundry, you betcha.
May I be excused?
Where are you going?
I have a dance to go to at school. It's a very important dance. We're being graded on it for gym.
Wait a minute. I have a wonderful idea. Would you like to go to the dance with Sam?
I'm a goofy goober, yeah. You're a goofy goober, yeah. We're all goofy goobers, yeah.
Goofy, goofy, goober, goobers, yeah.
Most anticipated movies of the year is the new Batman film Dark Knight Rises, and the movie has already had some controversy because its main villain, Bane, I don't know if you know about Bane, that's the main villain. Well, fans have seen an early trailer. And the fans who've seen the trailer complain that Bane's dialogue is very hard to understand. And they've complained about it, but the director thinks that Bane sounds just fine, so he doesn't want to change it. Now, I have to tell you, I saw the Dark Knight Rises trailer a couple of days ago. I agree with the fans. I think there's a problem. Take a look.
When gob gob is ashless, I glib you per biggity blah blah gabar.
What?
I glob glob mcgibbity glue.
I'm sorry, I can't really understand what you're saying. Maybe take off the mask.
No!
Let's try this one more time. Just slow it down.
I blam biddle clap fliggeroo.
What is going on
here? Ah.
Little help?
Oh no!
Does anybody here speak whatever this is?
Can the twos tackle stardom on TV?
Is Commando a blast for Radon Chong?
Does David Carradine march to a different flutist?
How does the A-Team get recruits?
Entertainment Tonight has a medium-rare treat with everything to go for Friday, October 18th, 1985.
If you work at it, our standards are tough, but we know you can do it.
We'll be right back.
to pot some cans over. What the hell's going on? Oh, gotta pick this shit up! Woohoo! Greetings and salutations, everybody!
It is Friday! And we're back! And I am the J-Strum! Oh, I got nothing. Hey, everybody, it's 2012! Holy shit! And it's not just me, it's also Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian!
Greetings and salutations!
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
Pretty good.
I'm a little off there. I'm like, when does this clip end again?
But you had to blow up their kitchen first.
Yes, had to blow up the kitchen. It's 2012. I can't believe it. This is our first show of 2012. And this is the debut of our entertainment version of the show, Entertainment Landfill, Episode 1, Bill. Boom! How's that?
Nice. Pretty You're going for the Entertainment Landfill name.
Yeah, you gotta love that. That is a great name, actually. Isn't it
really is.
We should just change the name of our show to Entertainment Law.
Well, we were considering it, what, like a year ago?
Yeah. Oh, hey, people like it! Hey! Woohoo! Yeah, I thought about just starting the show over as Entertainment Landfill. E.T. Landfill. It's got a cool name. A cool
sound. Well, and then there's an E.T. There's an actual E.T. Landfill.
Yeah.
With the E.T. Atari game. So, right. Yeah, it works.
And I pictured, like, you know, the landfills of old CRT televisions just piled up. They don't know what to do with them.
Absolutely.
And we cover a landfill of entertainment, just lots of bad TV and stuff. And basically, it's just like NIMH, regular NIMH, only it's shorter and we don't talk as many shows because we don't have as many to talk about right now. But we're going to talk mostly about entertainment type stuff. And basically, it means we got nothing this week. But we still want to do a show and catch up with you guys.
Well, it's been so long.
Yes, it has.
Obviously, someone just arrived.
Yeah. No, nobody's arrived yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just you and me. No,
I thought I heard the headset going on.
No, that's just me.
That's fake. That's not real.
That's a fake Steven.
That's an imposter.
Yes, it is. I wonder if we've... Yeah, Steven, he hasn't arrived in 2012 yet, Bill.
That's oh, he's still in 2011.
Yeah, he's not around right now, and I'm really sad. Yeah, I don't know what to do. Steven?
Yeah.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
But he said his plane lands right at 7, so he'll probably be here right as we're ending the show or something.
Oh, excellent.
Well, go. Nice to have you, Steven, but sorry, we gotta go.
So he's still like an hour out?
Yeah, he's, I'm not, he'll text me when he lands, but.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, nothing yet.
Better turn on the news.
Maybe there was a
helicopter accident.
Oh no, that would be horrible, Bill.
That would be bad.
Hopefully he flew in on a plane. And oh man, that's good stuff, Steven. If you're out there, I hope I
stay alive.
Yeah.
No matter what, we'll find you.
Oh, hey, Steven.
Yeah, hey, Steven. Oh, Bill, what's been going on since over your vacation, the new year?
So much. Mainly just Star Wars The Old Republic.
Yeah, no shit, man. I've been playing it a lot. I've been playing it more than I thought I could over the weekend.
You've been playing it more than me.
I know.
Normally, that's like my life, night and day, but I haven't been able to play it lately because I've been getting my my personal shit together.
Well,
so I haven't been on nearly as much as I've wanted to.
Well, last weekend, you know, New Year's weekend, we had small plans. We were going to go to a movie or something, but my wife just wanted to chill because, you know, she's been working. And she is. And she's like, why don't you play your Star Wars game? I just want to nap today. And I'm like, really? So she's in there napping, and I'm like just playing Star Wars like all friggin' day. And finally I look, and I'm like, I think we got to get ready to go in an hour, so you got to get up. And meanwhile, I'm just sitting there. And that's the thing about games like that. You realize that, holy shit, I've been sitting in the same spot for like 4 hours, you know? And it's a time suck. So you got to
It is. It's an incredible time suck.
Right. So usually what I do is I try to play – if I, you know, it's great if I can play like 3 hours, but if it's like an hour, try to be productive, you know, like I'm going to do these missions and then go back and log off or something.
Yeah, organize them by location. Like ones happen in this general area.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has been a lot of fun. There's Yudanasha, he joined our guild. He's like the only the only listener so far that's joined our guild, I believe, isn't he?
Yeah, none of our other listeners like us.
Actually,
apparently.
You know, Defiant Squirrel joined too, and he's a listener.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Him and his...
he's Azrael.
Garville. And his cousin joined. And it's funny because, you know, a lot of our old guild mates and stuff from Star Wars Galaxies, we thought they were going to join us. None of them have. And now we've got all these other members of our guild, and I actually don't mind. I think it's cool just to have numbers of people, but I haven't really got to know anybody yet because usually when I play, there's no one else on. Or, Bill, sometimes you're there or one other person, but it'll be cool like one day to have like some kind of guild raid or something.
Yeah, I'm hoping we can get our numbers up to that point because I just made 30. You're 32, going on 33.
Yeah, I hit 33 before I logged off.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I didn't mean
you
to.
You sneaky
either.
Bastard.
No, you and I were doing a heroic, and it just built my XP a little, you know?
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's one of those ripoffs, too, when you learn, when you level and you go and you learn one skill, and it's just like a rank something else of the same thing you have. I feel kind of gypped when it's not something new. Like, it's just the same.
Well, the new stuff normally comes from your skill tree. Like, I got this awesome new skill for my trooper called Grav Shot.
Nice.
And it only takes about a second and a half to build up. But once it hits, it does anywhere from like 500 to 1500 damage.
Nice. Do you
and
have
it
to...
just blasts them. And I love the sound design on it is great.
Do you have to wait until you've damaged them a bit before you can
no.
use it? Oh, okay.
It's normally my first shot out just to get their XP down because it also kind of stuns them.
Right.
And then I can hit them with a, like there's specialized attacks that you can use only whenever they're stunned.
Uh-huh.
And I'll hit him with a grab shot, and then I'll hit him with one of my stun attacks.
Yeah, I have this funny Jedi roundhouse kick thing that you can only do when they're stunned. And I think it's funny. Like, I have to wait for them to be stunned, and then I'm like, okay, now I can kick them once. And it looks so silly when I do it. But
it's really fun. I have a because I'm a ranged attack, whenever they come running at me, I have two attacks. I can do one called a concussive shot where it just blasts them out away from me, or I can do one where I can actually use my entire gun to just hit them.
Nice. Oh,
and
yeah.
It,
like
if you hit them with it right whenever their health is at a lower point, you can like send them flying through the air. It's so satisfying. Yeah, much like that.
Nice. Yeah, I just have this thing now where it's like a whirling lightsaber hit. You can only do it when they have 30% health left. So I'm like staring at it like, come on.
You're waiting for it to become available.
Because it does like 900 to 1200 damage in one hit.
Nice.
So I have to wait until you get them way low and then finally hit them with it. And I'm like, come on, light up. Especially when you're on one of those real high hit point type of enemies.
Yeah. This is like an elite.
Yeah. And I know, I'm sorry if people who are listening, if you don't play, it's just his geeking out over it.
Yeah, we're both having a blast with it. And just BioWare is so cognizant of what a game should be and how emotionally invested you should become in a game.
Yeah.
Like the Mass Effect games, I was obsessed with. I played them through twice. And I could have played them through more times as different types of characters. But I didn't, and they've like perfected this RPG type of game. And then for them to go into an MMO, which is always so boring and cookie cutter, and you know, you go from one quest to another just reading like something that someone says, like, oh, someone stole my goats, please go collect 10 goats from the Bliggity Blue. You know, and it's just so drab in this grind. Whereas I haven't felt like I was grinding once while playing Star Wars The Old Republic.
There's some like, I guess you call it a dungeon or missions you do. Like
instances, yeah.
That Zerka Corporation, I realized that, like, holy shit, how many of these guys have I killed? You know, you're just killing all these guys, and you have to use strategy not to pull too many. And, like, I realized what a blast I was having almost dying each time. It's more exciting when you live through something.
Absolutely. You know?
And there's a one part in that where they just start, those weird zombie guys keep coming surrounding you, and you're like, oh, shit. And you're trying.
And near the end of the mission, whenever they just keep coming, you have to take them out. And then they throw an elite at you.
Yeah, and your health is getting low, and I'm like, oh, shit. And what's funny is I have this thing called Summon the Force, and it only works for 1 minute. And it builds your HP up, like, every second it builds back up. So you're healing as you're getting damaged. It only works for 1 minute, and it cues heroic Star Wars music. So whenever you're, like, in deep shit, you hit that button, and it's like, dun, 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 dun. And you're, like, fighting. You're like, oh, shit, I'm going to die. And it's pretty cool when you actually live through it in the heroic
music. I have a similar thing. It doesn't really – the healing is a little slower on it. Maybe because I haven't upgraded it enough yet, but I have a similar thing where it's like you only use it whenever you think you're about to die.
Right.
Yeah, Death I can't Blossom. Remember the name of it.
That's what it is. It's basically Death Blossom.
I can remember the – yeah, it's Death Blossom. I can remember the pictures.
Prepare to meet the face of the dark side.
That doesn't even sound like Darth Vader. All right.
But I think the craziest thing about Star Wars: The Old Republic is that it's actually made me interested in those expanded universe stories. Whereas when I'm reading the expanded universe books, I'm all about, you know, the core characters: Luke, Leia, Han, and now their kids.
Right.
But now it's like I want to go back and read some of the stuff that takes place during that Old Republic era, just to be updated on some of the mission stuff, because I've heard there's an entire planet that you go to. I think it's like your second planet. It's your third planet after Coruscant, called Terrace.
Right.
And there's a whole backstory on the destruction of this planet that is in one of the books how that came about.
Yeah,
and it's like now I actually want to go back and read that, because there was all kinds of really interesting storylines on Terrace with people that were the leaders of the planet that disappeared.
Yeah.
Or like a small group of people that went underground.
Right. And what's cool is like how there was like this major tragedy on the planet. A lot of people left. New people came in and are trying to establish new civilization there and rebuild. But then the old people are coming back and they're like, hey, you're living on my property.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that was like one of the first missions you come across there. And it's like you have to make your choices. You have to. That's what BioWare has done so amazingly well with this game is you have to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And the decisions affect the outcome.
And it's so
funny.
Are
you going to be an asshole about it? Yeah, are you going to be diplomatic? Are you going to be neutral?
Sometimes I, like, my character is a Jedi shadow, but he's supposed to be a really nice, a really good Jedi Knight and whatever. And sometimes I give the sappiest answers, you know, and I'm like, ugh, you know, and I just want to be bad so bad. And sometimes I give smart ass answers, but I haven't given any dark side answers.
Yeah, that's one good thing about the neutral answers is if you're with a companion, you won't necessarily lose any affection points from your companion if you give a neutral smartass answer.
Uh-huh.
But they're so much more satisfying than giving the goody-two-shoes answer, which gains you force points and affection.
Right. I've wanted to be bad when you fight the... There's like these Jedi Masters who are sick and they're... they're acting bad and evil, but they're, you've got to help them. And you, you know, it's like, you know, they have killed some people. Maybe I should kill them. You know,
that storyline sounds very, it sounds familiar. Not quite the same, but there's in the expanded universe, there's a dark force or dark side creature from, they don't even know how old it is. But it's been around for a while, and it was imprisoned for quite a long bit, called Abeloth, which is actually reaching out through the Force and corrupting minds of Jedi so that they think their closest friends and family are actually dark side imposters.
Cool.
So it's like it's basically creating this basically crazy Jedi.
That's cool, because it kind of reminded me of the I, Jedi novel too, where they found this old temple, and it's where
Exar Kun.
Exar Kun was like possessing Jedi, making him do evil stuff. It kind of reminded me of that too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, but
it seems the dark side, the dark forces, dark Jedi, Sith, really are, they just want to get into the good people's heads and corrupt them.
Yeah, they really want to F things up.
But it's just not a nice thing.
But it is a fun game.
Stop the Star Wars.
Hey!
Yeah, it's a blast. What's great about it, I just say one more thing about it. It is an MMO. It's a massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
Yes.
But it's very single-player oriented.
Right.
There are social missions like flashpoints, heroics, where you are not going to be able to do them on your own at the accepted level.
Right, and that can be kind of annoying too, because sometimes you want to just get the things done.
Yeah,
you know.
But you know, you can play it by yourself.
Right.
You don't have to do the heroic missions. You don't have to do flashpoints. But if you do, you gain social points, which then you can level up, and actually I think you can actually redeem them for better gear.
Oh, cool.
At some point. I may be mistaken, but I believe you can actually redeem them.
Nice. But it's a fun game. If anyone decides they want to play it with us, you can find us on the Master Czar Leston server.
Yeah, and I know Yudnasha is still rather low. I think he's like 13.
Yeah,
but I have a Jedi that's I think 16. So I could probably do a flashpoint with him if he hasn't yet.
Yeah, I wanted him to tell me what he is so I could like save gear for him. Because
I think he's actually a trooper. He's a commando, same as my main guy.
There's so many times I loot things that I can't use that I like being able to send it to somebody instead of just
throwing it up on the or selling it to a droid.
Now, hey, Bill, we have a new person here. It's now 2012, and it's the first appearance of PCZ Steven.
Hey,
Steven, how's it going?
Good.
All right, just tell me, Bill, if you can't hear him or not. And
He can pull the mic a little closer, but I can hear him.
A little closer.
He's a little distant.
Let's see.
My voice is kind of a little shot.
Perfect.
Right, yeah, okay. I can hear you now. Sometimes it's hard to tell because I'm in the room with you.
Right.
But I'm like, can Bill hear this or not?
Yeah, I can hear him. He's good.
So, yeah, good stuff. Excuse me? Now, Steven, you may not have got to hear this on the radio in your car, but this is an entertainment landfill episode of Nowhere in Mulberry, where we're talking mostly entertainment stuff. We don't have a lot of shows to talk about. It may be a little truncated, or it could be just as long as it always is. But it's kind of like Entertainment Tonight, and I wanted to start us off, Bill, with a movie review, huh?
Oh.
Like, movie reviews, they happen on all these entertainment shows, or somebody tells you what they think. But I've got an awesome movie review, and I'm going to play it for you now. It's pretty awesome. It's from 1985.
Excellent.
And I don't even know if I want to explain what it is.
Just play it.
Yeah, I'm going to play it.
Totally, you're torturing us.
Check this out. Great movie review to start off our entertainment show.
Summer film that opened this past weekend didn't make the box office top five, but how well did it do on Leonard Maltin's scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, boy.
Now, here's a great idea for a movie. A childless couple adopts a little boy, only he's not really a little boy. He's a highly sophisticated computerized robot. Now think of the possibilities. This could really be a cute movie. Just one problem. They've made the film already. It's called Daryl, and it didn't work. In this scene, the robot boy tries his luck on a friend's video game.
It's like the worst clip ever. He's just playing pole position. This part of the movie never made sense to me either. I don't care how good you are at pole position, it doesn't speed up.
No.
Not bad.
Okay, there's the setup. But this film is all set up and no payoff. Every time there's a chance for some oomph, for a little bit of dramatic or emotional impact, they blow it. The word that keeps ringing in my head is bland. This is one of the blandest movies I've seen all year. No punch, no surprises, no juice, especially in the way it's directed, and a lot of syrupy music by Marvin Hamlisch. This movie just oozes with sweetness and good intentions, but judging from the results, Daryl does not compute. And it rates a 3. I'm Leonard Maltin, Entertainment Tonight.
Our movie track survey of ticket buyers on both coasts, however, didn't compute with Leonard Maltin. The survey gave the fantasy adventure film an overall grade of A-. 20% thought it was the very best. 41% loved it. 31% liked it. 7% were disappointed, and just 1% rated it a bomb. Despite the good response, MovieTrack says a younger audience, and a bigger one at that, is needed to keep Daryl alive at the box office.
Oh, dear. Did you hear that? It wasn't even in the top five on opening weekend?
I'm not surprised. I mean, it's not a very good movie.
No, it's not.
I mean, everything. I can't say I disagree with Leonard Maltin at all.
I don't either. He doesn't even review movies anymore, I don't think. But...
Yeah. Well, he does on, like, Reels or some shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But he used, you know, his reviews seem so tame, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There he's more critical of it.
Yeah, and he's outright bashing it.
It
does not compute.
I watched Daryl several times as a kid on cable, and I don't know why I did. It really isn't that entertaining.
I watched it because it was boring.
Yeah, it's a robot kid, and remember at one part he flies a...
with robots.
Is it a stealth fighter that he steals?
Yeah, he steals a jet in the worst effects I've ever seen in a movie. No, actually,
he crashes
Firefox.
It into a pond or something.
He bails out at one point, and it's not that exciting. And he goes back to the family that... he fakes his own death, I guess, and he goes back to his adoptive parents.
But what happens whenever they search the wreckage and don't find his computer body?
Oh, no, they won't do that. You know, it's not going to happen.
One chip looks like the other. You can't tell the difference.
But they won't.
But I love that. So that's our review of the week, Bill. That's pretty exciting.
You know what? I'm going to have to. I don't know if I'm going to get to the theater to see that. But I'm definitely going to see it.
I'll always remember. I'll take it with me to the grave, what Daryl stands for. Do you guys remember?
Data
analyzing robot youth life form.
Yes. He's
I wasn't sure about the data analyzing, but I remember robot
data
youth life
and
form.
He's a youth life form. So pretty cool. Good stuff.
And he can apparently overclock an Atari.
Yes, he can overclock pole position. Now, we know that Daryl came in number 6, Bill, but what else was in the top 10 this week at the movies?
In 1983, 4?
No,
what year was that?
Not in 2012.
Oh, in 2012.
Yeah, let's skip on up to 2012.
See, I don't think that's appropriate. I think we should stick with 1985.
Yeah.
All right.
That would be cool to stick with that.
That would. Perfect. Where's Einstein? all right, so right now we have Mission Impossible 4 leading the pack. Still disappointed that I haven't been able to see it, especially in IMAX, but...
Yes.
You know, there's...
Okay, Foggy, Jesus.
There's a bit of a controversy going on with the whole IMAX thing, and I think it kind of stemmed maybe last year about how a lot of these theaters are doing these retrofits of IMAX... And they're calling them IMAX Digital. And the screen's actually a third of the size of the actual IMAX screen.
Really? Because
a real IMAX screen is like 4 stories tall. I mean, it's enormous. And the theaters, like the seats are like right on top of the screen. So it messes with your peripheral vision. So it actually makes you feel like some of the motion to the film.
Right.
And a lot of these theaters are doing these IMAX digitals, and it doesn't pack the wallop that an actual IMAX screen does.
See, you know what's funny is, I went to see Mission Impossible, and I wasn't sure if I wanted to see it in IMAX or not, because the one thing I know about it, I mean, I don't really know much about it. It's just a giant effing screen, right?
And the sound is also.
Is it
better.
A 16:9 screen, or is it?
No, it is not. It's the typical IMAX screen is a 4:3 screen, I believe.
See, that's what throws me off. That's how I wasn't sure if I wanted to see it in that scope, so I went with the regular digital theater instead.
Okay.
So tell me, should I not worry about the scope like that?
Well, from what I understand, it's not 4:3; it's 5:4, which really, isn't that big of a difference. From what I understand, the part at the Burj Khalifa, that building, the tallest building in the world,
the one that looks like the Dark Tower. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That was entirely shot in IMAX, and from what I understand, a lot of people are getting like vertigo during it.
It's pretty awesome.
I want to see it. But I would love to see it in IMAX. But there's just no IMAX. There's no real true IMAX screens around me. There's plenty of theaters that play IMAX films, but again, it's that IMAX digital, which is, not really IMAX. So you might as well just go see it in a normal theater.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure, that's a gimmick, 3D or whatever. I remember the Matrix films, you could see them in IMAX, and I was like, do I really want to? I don't know. I mean, the main thing...
Again, that wasn't shot in IMAX. It would have been a 35mm...
But the sound is incredible in those theaters, though, right?
I saw the Phantom Menace in IMAX,
right?
And they didn't do anything special then. They just showed the 35mm film on the IMAX screen.
This film is all set up and no payoff.
Yeah, is he talking about the Phantom Menace there?
Yeah, I think he is.
But I will tell you this about Mission Impossible. It was super – it was tight, man.
Tight.
Super well directed, man. Brad Bird, he did a bang-up job, and it's exciting filmmaking, I think.
He's a masterful filmmaker.
Yeah, I really
knows
like
how
it.
To entertain.
I'm a pilot, you know.
Yes, and he's a pilot, I guess. But it's a lot of fun. I really dug Mission Impossible, and I want you to see it really bad.
Yeah, I have been so busy lately. I'm either playing Star Wars Star Wars The Old Republic or going to a gazillion doctor's appointments in preparation for an upcoming surgery. So I have been all over the place and just haven't really sat down and made the time to go see anything at the theater.
He's a highly sophisticated computerized robot.
Oh my
but
God,
I did watch
no.
the most recent episode of Sherlock, which just started on the BBC last week.
With my man Cumberbatch, huh?
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch.
That show is really awesome. And you know what's funny is a lot of people were tweeting about the new Sherlock, and I was like looking on BBC America. I don't see it on here.
Yeah, we don't – well, it won't air on television in the States – till like August or something.
So basically you BitTorrent it, right?
Well, I do one of two things. I actually did BitTorrent it, but when I went to watch it, I use a proxy server.
Okay.
Where it registers my IP as a UK IP.
Uh-huh.
So that I can actually go onto the BBC iPlayer site.
Oh, and just stream it.
And just stream it. Yeah, just
nice.
Like I'm watching Netflix or whatever.
Cool. Misa like.
Yeah, but it's so good. Oh my God, was it so good.
You know, I've only seen, okay, and sometimes you wait for the other person in your house, like my wife, to catch up or whatever. I've seen the first episode, the first 90-minute episode. I mean, they're all 90-minute movies, basically.
Yes, they are.
And I loved it. I loved the way they set up him and Watson. It was so entertaining. I couldn't wait to watch a second one. But I'm going to have to watch it by myself because I
you're
going
to have to watch the next two before you even think about watching the
right.
season two, episode one, because it picks up at like, – it's a cliffhanger.
And who writes the Sherlock?
Stephen Moffat.
Right.
Who is one of the best writers right now. He and Edgar Wright actually teamed up for the Tintin movie.
Right, which I saw also and loved.
Yeah, another one that I have to see, and I'm definitely seeing in 3D.
Tintin is so creative and so well done. I mean, it's just, it's Steven Spielberg's best movie in a long time. And just the animation, really, we're all jaded by, we've seen so much computer animation. It's hard to be impressed all the time, but this, it really impressed me, and I think it's gorgeous. Really lush and vibrant.
Well, the moment I saw that chase through Morocco in the trailer,
oh yeah,
I was sold. I was absolutely sold. I was like, I cannot wait to see that.
It oozes fun in those sequences. It's just like, man, this is fun. This is awesome. You know?
The kind of fun that, you know, you really haven't had in a movie since, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark for Steven Spielberg?
Yes, totally. And I want to be as cliche as say, it's fun for the whole family. What'd you think, Leonard Maltin?
This film is all set up and no payoff.
Oh, come on. You're full of cliches.
Such a downer.
Well, what's wrong with that guy?
Daryl does not compute.
Oh, no, no, no.
What I'm talking about
Tintin. Daryl. God, what the hell's wrong with that guy?
He's hung up on one movie. Sophisticated computerized robot.
Tintin is not a robot. Jesus.
Even his setup to talk about Daryl is more boring than Daryl.
Yeah.
It's like, that doesn't sound like a good movie.
Movies I've seen all year.
This is a bland movie. But, okay, let's get back to the top 10, Bill.
Yeah, the top 10. Next, we have Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. I say skip that and just watch the new Sherlock.
Right.
Because that's the true...
I mean, I enjoy Robert Downey and that role and everything, but I can wait. I can wait for HBO.
Yeah, I really... You know, I watched the first one. In fact, I even blind bought it on Blu-ray. Mm-hmm. And after I watched it, I was like, yeah, well, that goes back in the shelf forever.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's entertaining, and you're like, hey, he was good in that role, but I'm not going to watch this again.
Yeah, I saw it once. I don't need to see it again. It's not one of those movies that is so memorable that moments stick with you. It's right. Not – sure, there's moments where like, oh, I really like how he does that slow-mo kind of analysis of the situation and how he's going to fight a person and take them down. But once he does it once, that's – you know,
right.
It loses its charm.
If there's some fun repartee between him and Jude Law, you know, that could have you coming back for more.
And number three, I know you rushed out to see this one, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked.
That looks like an abomination.
I'm so glad that they brought back, what's his name? Earl. Shit, I'm blanking on
Jason
his name.
Lee.
Jason Lee.
Yeah, hey, it's paycheck, baby. But yeah.
Didn't he have Chuck in the second one?
Yep. And David Cross has been in all of them. It's funny, one time people, like his fans were attacking him. He goes, look, dude.
I gotta eat.
Yeah, David Cross gotta eat, man. You would take the check too. And I was thinking about it. Yeah, what the hell? I would. Somebody paid me to be in this shitty movie. Why not? It's not like he's a master thespian or anything. He's a comedian.
No,
yeah, that
looks
not.
Just watch Run, Ronnie, Run.
When they show the chipmunk girls doing the kind of like. I don't know, urban music or whatever.
Yeah, it's just like, it's no different than the Happy Feet 2 trailer.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, come on. Stop shoving this down our kids' throats, you know? Yeah. We don't need any more of that shit.
Yeah, we had plenty of shitty kids' movies when we were kids, but nothing this appalling.
Yeah. It's bad. And my daughter loves the Chipmunks. I'm like, watch the old Saturday morning cartoon DVDs, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
The covers of Huey Lewis or something.
They would show those in syndication after whenever I would get home from school. If I was lucky enough that none of my sisters were home and they were watching One Life to Live in General Hospital.
Yeah. They need to do a theatrical adaptation of, like, Kid Video or something.
Shit, yeah.
Do you remember that show, Steven?
He's a highly sophisticated computerized robot.
No, Kid Video was not a robot.
Kid Video had the band with Robbie Wrist.
Yeah, they were a band, but they got sucked into a video world.
World, and it had the guy in the floating chair.
This is one of the blandest movies I've seen all year.
Each episode was dedicated to a cover of a song.
Right.
Like there was a cover of a popular song at the time in each episode.
They would show like, they would be in the cartoon world and then they would show The Reflex by Duran Duran like superimposed on a screen for like a few seconds. That was great.
are Huey Lewis's I Want a New Drug.
What was the bad guy's name on there, on that show?
Ah, shit. You know what? I'm going to have to look it up real quick. Because I
really
loved that show.
Son of a bitch, aren't you?
But I watched it now. Like, I've actually, I have every episode on my computer.
Nah. That's awesome. And you know what? I always thought the chick on the show, hot.
Hot. Yeah, oh, please, so hot.
I'm talking about the live-action version. But
I'm talking about the cartoon.
Yeah, the cartoon, I see it, man, I see it.
But then there was the little fairy in those sweat, what the hell, were leg warmers.
So you like the fairy, too?
Yeah, she was hot. No, what is it? Carla was her name. Let's see. Master Blaster?
That was his name? What? His name was Master Blaster?
It was. I totally don't remember that.
There's no way.
No, it was.
You're telling
me? His name was Master Blaster.
Oh, shit. What just happened to my computer? Okay.
I can still hear you.
I don't know. Something went funky. So the guy's name is Master Blaster in Kid Video. How did we not remember that?
I don't know.
Holy shit.
There was only 26 episodes. It wasn't around very long.
Yeah, I always think that's funny. When you remember back to old shows you watch, it almost like, man, there was like 1,000 episodes of
this
show.
Yeah, it seems like it was on television forever.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Think what to do.
No, not that Master Blaster.
Master Blaster.
Be King Abraham.
There's no way Master Blaster was on Kid Video. I remember that little guy on the back of a big guy. Give him a piggyback.
You smart.
Good stuff.
All right, going back to the box office, we have number four is The Girl with the Girl? The Grill? Did I say grill? The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo remake.
Nice.
With David Fincher. Oh my God, he's such a great director. Gotta go watch his movie.
That's what it seems like, man. People go nuts for David Fincher.
I could give a flying F about David Fincher. He's a competent director, but he's so technical and like, I don't know, everyone thinks he's showy and create. I think he's sterile. I mean, all you gotta do is watch a movie like Panic Room, and it's just so, like, oh, let me show off these tricks. Let me take the camera through the coffee mug.
Is that what people get excited about?
I don't know. I really don't. I know all I have heard about the girl,
the girl with the dragon tattoo
is, oh man, it's got an awesome opening credit sequence. It's like
right.
The spiritual sequel to Seven.
Okay.
And.
Well, I'll say this about David Fincher. And while he may be a good director or whatever, and he's very talented, well, the best best directors working today, as people will say, the films that I've seen by him, I don't want to watch them repeatedly or anything. And that doesn't mean they're not good. It just means they don't really connect. I don't connect with them.
Yeah. That's what I mean by, to me, they're sterile. I don't ever make a mental or emotional connection to any of his films.
Right.
Seven, I saw in the theater as a kid going to high school, and I was really impressed by it because that's what was kind of popular at that time.
It's certainly
kind of that dark,
gorgeous visually, and it's got rain and atmosphere and all that.
Yeah, but there's nothing about it that makes me go, wow, that's one of my favorite movies.
Right.
Fight Club, competent, interesting, but not a film that I'm going to watch over again.
Again, people, I've known people who love Fight Club, and I honestly don't get it. I think it's well made, but when it's over, I don't want to see it again.
It's not like, this is just so, interesting and nihilistic and wonderful.
I'm not bashing on the guy. I just don't get it. Honestly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not bashing on him either. I've seen every one of his movies. I appreciate each one for what they are.
People love
he's obviously a good director, but I just don't see anything.
Right. I mean, the one movie
like
I watched multiple times.
Thrill-inducing, like most people have about him.
Like, I've seen The Game more than once. I think that's a cool story, but
The Game annoys the living shit out of me.
It's very nerve-wracking. It is. I enjoyed Zodiac. I thought that was effective. But again, I'm saying it's not a movie I want to watch over and over again.
After I watched Zodiac, I had more interest reading the books it was based on than watching the film again.
Well, it's
like I went out and bought the book it was based on. Is it Robert Graysmith? Right. His Zodiac book. And I also bought another Zodiac book that scared the living shit out of me and was a million times more effective, called This Is the Zodiac Speaking. And that's what I got from that movie, is to go and look at what actually went down.
It's very well made. The only problem is there's no real life ending, so it's hard to make an ending to it.
Again, it's just
And Alien 3, I don't care if he directed or anybody, I'm just not a fan of that movie.
No, it's terrible. It's a mess. It's a mishmash of shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's the gimbal or whatever, and the alien running through the tunnel or whatever, that rig, but it doesn't give me that excited, you know. But it's a film student love to jerk off to the guy.
Is it really a film student thing? Because
can
anyone really take what he's done and apply it to classical directors?
I don't know. I mean, but I don't. All I know is this: people seem to like him, and I don't get it. I mean, certainly I'll see a movie that he's directed. I mean, I don't not see movies he's directed.
The Social Network was more about the script than the direction.
Well, you have to give him credit for that if it's good, you know?
True. But, I mean, there was nothing stylistically that made it stand out as a David Fincher film for me.
Well, you could analyze it and find shots in there that's very David Fincher if you wanted to, you know?
I've only watched it once, and I was like, eh.
Yeah, that's a problem. Maybe it's hard to live up to it.
That's
what
his
he
style.
Is.
You can only watch him once.
But I mean, I start to.
No one's going to tell me that The Case of Benjamin Button is an excellent film.
Well, I start to wonder: is it like Family Guy with me, where I just don't get it?
Yeah, you know what? I think maybe I'm in the same crowd because I found the Curious Case of Benjamin Button to be just as a movie that is so dependent on emotional beats to be so sterile.
I'm at a loss there because I've still never seen that.
Is the lack of an emotional connection for me because I think David Fincher's an asshole or because he is an asshole?
I don't know. Why do you think he's an asshole?
He just comes across as a very smarmy, haughty kind of guy.
You're getting into that's different than his directing because I don't even know who he is personally. I don't even think I've seen.
And I've only read rumors. I don't know who he is personally either.
Yeah, so you shouldn't judge someone based
on
rumors.
Just from what I've seen in his films.
Right. I'll say something like Panic Room, very well made, incredibly uninteresting story to me.
Yeah, incredibly stupid.
I like Jodie Foster. She's a very talented actress. It's just a dumb movie, isn't it?
Really, and it's insanely dumb.
Yeah, it's not good. But again, I'll say we're just repeating ourselves. But I got nothing, man. I know people love the Fincher, but I liked Mission Impossible and I liked Tintin. I didn't want to run out to. I don't even know what The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is about, Bill. You don't have to tell me.
It's this.
I don't know what it's about.
The book is overhyped.
Everybody was reading that for a while. My dad said the book was translated and he thought it made it suffer and it wasn't a good book.
You know what? That could be the case because I felt the book was boring. Right. And there was a lot of moments in it that were really convenient to move the plot along. And the resolution was weak.
Yeah, that's kind of shaky. I wonder how that happens.
The film was okay. The Swedish film was okay. The sequels were horrible. But that could have been because it was a different director from the first film.
Yeah, maybe
I don't know.
It's just made badly.
But again, in general, I think the entire Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Girl Who Played with Fire, Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest is an incredibly overhyped, overrated set of books and films.
Right. I mean, I'll eventually see it. I'm not going to say anything about it. I have no opinion of it whatsoever. I'll eventually see it.
I'll see it whenever it hits Blu-ray or most likely
Bill,
Ultimate.
You're bringing up something. I really hate the overhype thing when people say it's overhyped. You know, people did that with like Super 8, like, oh, it's overhyped. But what you mean is so many people talk about it, there's no way it could live up to the momentum that's built by word of mouth. That's what hype is, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So when I see it, I will watch it with the clear head, you know, because I don't even know if I've heard good things about the story. I know just a lot of people have read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know nothing about it. And it's
basically a murder mystery.
Right. And that's cool. I mean, maybe I'll like it. Maybe I will. But I
maybe
got nothing.
Will. Maybe you'll think it's Fincher's best film.
Oh, Fincher. Oh, yeah. Oh. But
I'm
I got
change my underwear.
All right, Bill, what else is
all right, following up with
Holy
5
shit,
through
what a
10
side, thing there. We really went off the rails on
we
our
did.
Fincher,
I'm sorry about that. That
no
was
problem.
My fault.
Well, you had to talk about it.
All right, so 5 through 10 we have War Horse, which I have absolutely no interest in seeing. I know it's Steven Spielberg. I know it's looks gorgeous, but I just really don't care about boy meets horse, boy falls in love with horse, boy loses
you,
horse,
Bill,
and boy
you,
gains horse back again
I
years
honestly,
later.
I don't know much about it, but I trust my dad when he said how good it is, and we'll watch it eventually and like it.
Well, from what I understand, it's pretty much a kid's movie, because what I heard on 35mm Heroes is that although this is, you know, a lot of it takes place in war, it's bloodless.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty tame, from what I understand.
It's not
so
like it's, Saving Private Ryan with horses?
Yeah, it's not bloody. That's so funny. I think if maybe this would be
it's like
a
watching
film
a horse die.
Emma.
Right. I don't know. I'll watch it on my own before I show it to her, but... I trust Steven Spielberg that it's good. And I was like, man, he's got two movies out at once?
Yeah, he does.
Pretty crazy.
You know, where does he find the time?
Yeah, he's got a lot of
You know what? Honestly, he probably shot Tintin ages ago, and then they go into that after the motion capture.
Right.
That takes a while. All right,
Nick
we have
Frost
We Bought a Zoo coming in at number 6.
Bill, Nick Frost and...
And Simon Pegg are in Tintin. I just want to.
Yes, they are. They're Johnson & Johnson.
Right. Okay. Go ahead. What was the next movie?
We Bought a Zoo.
We Bought a Zoo. Hey, Cameron Crowe, right? Huh?
It looks the advertising for it is incredibly awful.
Yeah, but is Salisbury Hill in the movie played at any time?
Oh God! You know what? I wouldn't be surprised. It just looks so freaking sappy.
Yeah, it does. I trust Cameron Crowe, though. What was that one misfire he had that...
Vanilla Sky?
No, with Kirsten Dunst. Remember, it had her and Orlando Bloom and everyone panned it? God, what was that?
Shit, Elizabethtown.
Yeah, Elizabethtown. Still haven't seen that, but...
I kind of liked it.
Really? I mean, I like Cameron Crowe movies. I like his
movies. You know what it was? It was the characters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once he gets to this town that his dad grew up in, and he starts to meet all this family, and they're just such characters that I was kind of charmed by it, kind of almost in that way that Stephen King writes characters, where you kind of get used to them and appreciate their little quirks.
Well, that was one of those movies that I remember where they turned on Cameron Crowe for that movie, and people were like, it's like he wrote a movie so he could show people his iTunes song list or whatever.
But that's every Cameron Crowe movie. He was a freaking music writer.
He does a great job with music in his movies, I think.
And, you know, Elizabethtown's overlong, and it's honestly about an hour too long.
Maybe he fell too in love with it, and he could have edited it down, you know?
Yeah, but I think it's interesting, and I like the characters. All right, moving on. And We Bought a Zoo is apparently a true zoo story.
I'll probably eventually see it on cable and be like, man, this is good. I like this shit. You know, Scarlett Johansson, I don't see her and Matt Damon hitting it off. I don't know what their characters are, but I don't know if that's...
Well, what's funny is both of them I've always felt as kind of wooden actors.
No, I think Matt Damon's really good. I think he's a good actor.
Well, I think the Bourne films kind of brought that out.
Well, even the talented Mr. Ripley, I thought...
See, I've never seen it.
I thought he showed he had some acting chops in that. Amanda, Matt, I always thought of Matt Damon as real Nancy, but he's really rocking the shit in this one. Do you remember that?
What was that in?
It was in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yes. I always, anytime I think Matt Damon, I think of Team America, where you do Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Matt Damon.
It's absurd. It's totally absurd.
Yes, it is. And he's a smart son of a bitch. He's like super, super smart. If you've ever heard him talk, like whenever the, like political topics and stuff like that. Yeah. He's brought me to tears.
He had the best moment ever on Entourage. Remember that? When he was like, give me the effing check, Vince! When he wanted
yes.
That, when he breaks down and he starts crying on the phone. That was the best moment ever on Entourage, ever.
Yeah, I would have to say so. All right, moving on. We have The Adventures of Tintin moving from number 5 to number 7.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's still a sequel.
It's still making decent money. It didn't open huge, which is really surprising.
Yeah, I think some people just... I mean, nobody is familiar with the characters. I was more familiar with the... They did a spoof of it in National Lampoon.
I've only been familiar with Tintin because in the 90s, HBO would show the cartoon in the mornings.
Okay.
So that's why I'm aware of Tintin.
By the end of the movie, you'll be in love with Snowy. That's like the coolest dog ever.
That's what I hear. Like, I know in Snowy's like the smart one of the group, basically.
Snowy looks out for Tintin, and everybody wants a dog like that.
Tintin's very impulsive.
Right.
And he was impulsive in the cartoons. And I know was Captain Haddock?
Yeah.
Always had some really good, like, one-liners and phrases that he would...
He almost steals the movie. He's hilarious.
That's cool. I can't wait to see it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Definitely.
This next film, I'm not. New Year's Eve, I could give a massive shit about another one of Gary Marshall's ensemble bullshit movies.
It looks like a pile of shit.
I mean, this guy is getting paid for the worst films.
Hey, you know how to not get me to watch a movie? Show me that Ashton Kutcher is in it in the commercials.
You want to know how to get me not to watch a movie? Show Ashton Kutcher and that annoying little girl from Glee.
Yeah, and
in the commercials.
I know she's pretty young, right? Ashton Kutcher is what, is 30? So you're showing me, I don't know, it looks kind of
a 30-year-old with a 20-year-old. Well, it's not any different with him and Demi Moore. So.
Yeah, and it's... And he cheated on her. What a bastard. I hate him. Could care less.
He's terrible. And just to take a little sidebar here, let's go back and look at Gary Marshall's last three films.
Okay, that'll be good.
We have the new release, New Year's Eve. The last release, Valentine's Day.
Oh, wow.
And before that, before he made his two epic ensemble romantic comedies, he had Georgia Rule.
Oh, man.
With Lindsay Lohan.
Was that the last movie she made before she flew off the...
Yep, it is. Yep. And the last movie he made that made any kind of money was The Princess Diaries 2 Royal Engagement back in 2004.
Oh, wow. Yeah, those made What's-Her-Face a star, right?
Yes, they did. All I can see in my mind is her face and her boobs. That's terrible.
Anne Hathaway, thank you, Steve.
Anne Hathaway.
That's Gary Marshall's last movie.
And that's the, money pouring out of the outhouse
yeah,
for New Year's Eve.
Yep. Well, hey,
all right, and
guys making a living, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Wrapping up with 9 and 10, we have The Darkest Hour.
The Darkest Hour.
Which, you know, I'm a sucker for apocalyptic movies, and especially when they have invisible aliens that are only affected by electricity. But
That has come out already?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I feel like I've seen the entire movie already by the trailer.
All I know is this. In the trailer, I hear the boom.
Oh, yeah, of course
you
do. So
it makes me want to see it.
That's the power going out.
How do invisible aliens that can vaporize you, how do you fight that? That's what I'm
with electricity. They tell us.
Oh.
Yep. Hey, and from what I hear, this has an excellent Tyler Bates score.
And, it's got Speed Racer in it, too.
It does have. And it's got that oh, what's that girl's name? Olivia Thirlby, who is super cute.
No, okay, Bill. Is this movie, has it gotten good reviews?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because, I mean, I'm seeing trailers to it, wondering when it's coming out. It's already been out. So it's not doing too well, is it?
No, it's only made $5 million, and it's been out for, let's see, how many weeks?
So
2 weeks.
Is this the guy who directed Wanted? No, who? It's some Russian guy, isn't it?
Are you thinking of Timur Bekmambetov?
I think so. Okay.
Timur Bekmambetov. He's the guy that directed the Day Watch and Night Watch
films.
Right,
that's him. Okay.
Which I really like.
I was wondering if he directed this.
This was just produced by him.
Oh, okay. Oh, see, I got sucked in by that. From the producer of Wanted. It's like, oh, he directed it. No, Jason. Oh, and you know, Mark Anderson, a huge listener of the show, Bill?
Yeah.
Why is he signing in and out of Skype so much? He's driving me insane. Just throw that out there for him.
Yeah, well, his brother's in the chat, so
yeah,
maybe
tell him
we
to
can
ask
get an answer.
Tell him to ax him for me.
Ax him a question.
Yeah,
and finally, we have The Descendants. The, Alexander Payne film.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I do too, but I'll probably wait until it hits Blu-ray.
Don't you mean the Oscar
Yes, something like that. You know, that's the one great thing about Oscar season are all the screeners that hit.
Yeah,
the people
Oscars,
that get those just can't resist.
Oscar screener season. Yeah.
Yeah. I always, it's funny, I love how AMC every year has like the come to all day thing and see all the Oscar nominees for Best Picture. I'm like, I'm doing that in my house.
Daryl does not compute.
Oh.
That's just rude.
Was Daryl nominated the year? No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think it was.
That's crazy.
But, and then the only thing opening this week wide is The Devil Inside, and that's apparently another one of those found footage bullshit movies.
It's based on the NXS song, is what I heard.
They then I'll have
lyrics,
to see that.
And they made a screenplay out of it. Devil Inside.
Is it about autoerotic asphyxiation? Yeah.
Every single one of us, the devil inside. Oh, yeah. Ba-na-na-na-na.
Okay. Oh, I heard that song way too many times.
And then the sequel will be Soup and Salad Bar.
Soup and Salad Bar.
Soup and Salad Bar.
I've never heard it said like that. That's great.
That's an awesome song, isn't it, Steven?
Love it.
All right, Bill, let's take a break. When we come back, I don't know what we'll do, but we'll be
we'll
right back.
We'll do something.
Back. Yes.
Whore.
Excuse me? No, let's talk about a couple of shows when we get back, Bill,
okay.
And all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, stuff like that. Let's take a break. Be right back, everybody.
This film is all set up and no payoff.
When I bite into a York peppermint patty, I get the sensation of being on top of a cold mountain. And all I want to do is yodel. Yodel like...
Get the sensation of deep chocolate covering cool, cool peppermint.
When I bite into a York peppermint patties, I'm getting the sensation of a little bit shivers tippy-toeing up and down my spine.
York peppermint patty. Get the sensation.
Oh, it's beautiful. Did Daddy see it? Mr. Macho cry.
Hey, I always cry when I'm hungry.
What goes great with happiness?
Something fits in all of it.
Everything will taste better.
Tastes better when it's sitting on a Ritz.
Ritz makes food taste great.
When it's
sitting
on a Ritz.
Try low salt Ritz too. Great Ritz taste with less salt.
Oh, 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 the night before Christmas. And Oreo cookies waiting for a special guest.
I'll just take a little rest.
Ho, ho, ho. With the Oreo cookies, eating all the luscious chocolate, licking all the creamy middles, dunking all the crunchy cookies like he did when he was little. It's so hard to hide the kid inside with Christmas and O-R-E-O.
Nabisco.
Nabisco Snack Crackers have a terrific holiday present for you. Great savings on all these delicious Nabisco Snack Crackers in Canada Dry. So go to your store and look for your Nabisco Snack Crackers display. And while you're celebrating this holiday season, you can also be saving.
Scramble.
And savage.
You like our new strike cycle? Then let's show them how it works.
It's Rambo in a Skywolf jet.
Wings in attack mode.
I'll get him with a minigun.
This will stop him, Rambo.
Look out! Got him! Nice set of wheels.
Get the Savage Strike Cycle, Rambo Skywolf jet, and figures, each sold separately.
Got a special feeling for my feeling special puppy. I know how he feels.
It hurts.
Cause he tells me.
I'm sorry.
Batteries not included.
When my feeling special puppy has too much to eat, I know how he feels.
Cause he tells me.
Excuse me.
I know my feeling special kitty loves me. Cause she tells me.
I love you too.
The new feeling special pets, each sold separately. When you touch them, you'll know how they feel.
Cause they tell you.
$10 million in home entertainment merchandise will be moved from the Curtis Mathis warehouses immediately. To do this before the first of the year, price and profit will be slashed. Every item in this entire inventory will be sold at 20 to 50% off. Of course, you still get the exclusive four-year warranty covering all parts and labor. Imagine 20 to 50% off every TV, VCR, big screen, stereo, and combo in the store. Clarence and Charles said, come on in, pick yours out. Easy financing is available. Curtis Mathis Entertainment Centers, Woods Plaza, Beaumont, and Port Arthur Groves.
When you're into perfection, keep on your toes. You have to be quick, cause here's how it goes.
Push the plunger down, set the timer. Fit the pieces in place. Don't be slow in perfection. You've gotta move on fast, or the pieces pop up before you put in the last. And that's perfection.
And for a greater challenge, try Superfection. 32 puzzle shapes to assemble in place. It can drive you wacko. Perfection, Superfection.
Live from Hollywood, it's the Betcha by the Chip Show, starring Mick. And now, I'll be the first contestant to bite a Chips Ahoy cookie without biting a chip. I bit a chip, but I'm cool. Hey, it's like a chocolate chip party going on here.
Sam, your homework.
Chips Ahoy, original in the blue bag, chewy in the red. Betcha bite a chip.
Let's learn the McDonaldland song with Ronald McDonald and friends.
It's a good time for getting together.
To pass around a smile or two.
It's a good time for music and magic.
With Ronald McDonald and you.
Time you want to spend with McDonaldland friends.
When you eat at Ronald, the fun never ends.
It's a good time for the great taste of McDonald's.
I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
You just said the magic words that look like you did. And look how shopping at Toys R Us computes into big savings. The world's best-selling computer, the new Commodore 64C, comes with GI software, 1541 disk drive, a smart Baidu.
Well!
For a higher intelligence, the powerful Commodore 128 with number keypad and more. Also speedy 1571 disk drive. Computing costs less at Toys R Us.
It's the world's biggest Toys R Us. Go!
Twix puts the dig in your gig. It puts the boom into your beat.
Puts the rhythm in your feet.
Keeps you rocking along. Puts the soul into your song. You can keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on moving with Twix. Chocolate caramel satisfaction. Like just a cookie gets you back in the action.
Nothing two sticks of Twix can't fix.
Put slip, smack, back in your wrap. Keep on, keep on, keep on.
When the fops lose their billfold covers, then they drink the rainbow. Then one of the fops, this fop, was on the tree, and he's funny. And then they say, "Where are we mad?"
It's about the time.
The Teddy Ruxpin Adventure Series from Worlds of Wonder.
Go look at this picture. It's really good.
Lucky dog, lucky dog. I'm a lucky dog. Got my own bedroom. Even got my own sweatshirt.
Here I
go. And I'm really lucky dog, a good person. Who cares for me with lucky dog? Crunchy bone meal on the outside. And inside, a taste of real meat. Wanna see an instant replay? Crunchy, meaty. New lucky dog brand dog food from Purina.
Bath time.
Oh, my luck just ran out.
Make your dog a lucky dog today. We'll be right back.
You despicable people are starting to rub off on me.
Excuse me? Now, Bill, I forgot to talk about something earlier.
Oh, you did?
Well, first of all, we did have an Adam voicemail, but I didn't get to get that ready for the show. This was like a time crunch. I barely even finished things. But, Adam, I'm going to play your voicemail next week on regular Nowhere in Mulberry if we do show next Friday. But I want to talk about my weird Xbox thing, Bill, because I was telling Steven about it. Something like this has never happened to me before. So
yeah.
My daughter got a Kinect for Christmas from you, Bill, and she loves it. She plays
from
it.
From me?
Yes. Thank you, Bill.
No problem.
She loves it. She plays it all the time. She's playing the Sesame Street game, Once Upon a Monster, where you run around with Elmo and everything. It's real cute.
That's cool.
And there's bastards. They make it where you can buy new chapters, like to play even more. So she's like, can I have a new chapter? And I was like, sure, let's get that. So I downloaded it, right? But it was going to take forever, so I was like, I'll download it tomorrow. We got to turn it off or whatever. So the next day, before she comes home from school, I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to download this. So I go on it. It says, you have been signed. You were signed in on other console.
Or
you recently signed in on other console. And I was like, what? No, I wasn't. What the hell? So anyway, I download the game, and I noticed, like, it says that my Xbox points are at zero. I'm like, that's weird. I could have sworn I had more points than that. How much did this chapter cost?
Yeah.
It was like 400 points. And I had like over 600. So I was like, that's weird. Okay. And I was like, whatever. So anyway, I get this email from Microsoft that says, your transaction of 6,000 Xbox Live points has failed. Your
what?
Has failed. And I went, what? What the hell? And I started going freaking out like, what the hell is going on? So luckily, like years ago, when I first registered an Xbox account, you could put a credit card on there if you want, right, Bill?
Yeah.
I had like a $50 gift card I put on there. And I used that for however much time. And then eventually you can get those Xbox cards on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
And that's how I've been buying like a year at a time or whatever. So that card has been long since expired. It never asked for it again, whatever. I forgot all about it. Well, whoever hacked into my account, and it's some kind of exploit using the soccer game FIFA 12 with Electronic Arts, that these people, I don't even think they need your password, Bill. They just need your name or something. And
it's so strange.
It is. And I'm wondering if the Xbox reset, where they did a whole new, they changed the look of everything, if it made the default setting where you can sign in to, usually you would think the default setting would be only log in to my account on this Xbox. But it's the opposite. You can log into your account from any Xbox and you have to turn that off. Right?
Hmm.
And that's what it was on my Xbox. And I think it should be, you shouldn't be allowed to log into my account anywhere except right here. And if I want to log in somewhere else, I would have to go into my console and change that. But it said it was the other way around.
So, but it's so strange. The entire thing is so bizarre that...
Right.
Okay, they're
Obviously,
Microsoft has changed it where it used to be if you had more than one console, you were shit out of luck. You had to keep your profile on like a flash drive and use that to log in to your account on the consoles.
Right. So basically what...
So they changed it so that now you can log in to multiple consoles.
Uh-huh.
And these people found an exploit using that.
Right. And it even says, like you'll see on my gamer card, it says that I played FIFA 12 was the last game I played. I was like, I don't even own that game. And what they did is they bought something using my points with my account name, drained it to zero, then tried to use the credit card I had, which was a gift card, and to buy 6,000 points. That failed, and that was the last thing they did. Now, I immediately changed my password, took that setting where you can't sign in away from my console. Like, nobody can sign in my account on another Xbox right now,
yeah,
the way I have it set up. But it wasn't default setting to that, so that's stupid.
It's
but,
also really strange that apparently this is all in-game stuff. Like in this FIFA 12 or FIFA 11, I've even heard, where you can actually buy like teams or stuff and then trade them in-game. So apparently they can buy the stuff using your points and then trade them to their account, I'm assuming.
It's horse shit. I don't know how they do it, but somehow they have it set up where you don't need someone's password to do that. You just need their account name.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look this up and read about it because it just sounds really fishy.
Yeah.
And it's if it's an exploit using an EA game... why, you know, Microsoft is saying that they haven't been hacked because technically they haven't been hacked.
Right.
This is an exploit using a game, but I don't understand how it all works.
And on the Microsoft thing,
I can't buy points on my account and then give them to you.
Right. That's why I didn't understand. My head hurt trying to think, how the hell did somebody steal my points? And it's because they used my account to buy shit and download it on their console. Which is crazy, and it said that, like, you purchased a gold jumbo pack, and I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And I typed in the description of what happened on Google, and I found on the Microsoft, the Xbox Live website in the search.
Okay.
And I found a whole bunch of people complaining about it, and on all of their gamer things, it said the last game they played was FIFA 12. And everyone's like, I don't know what's going on. I had over a thousand gamer points. They used my PayPal and they bought all this shit. And I was like, oh my God, that's right. You can set up PayPal on your account now.
Yeah.
So people are having their shit drained before they notice it.
This goes back all the way to October.
Yeah, that's the craziest thing. It's been happening since October. No one has warned anyone. They should when they had that update on Xbox, they should have made the default setting where you can't log in from another Xbox into your account.
Yeah, without your password.
It's ridiculous, and I don't like the way Microsoft's handling it because right now, what it does is, I haven't even checked, but it's supposed to freeze my Xbox Live account for like up to 30 days as they investigate it. And, you know, I can still play on my Xbox. I just can't get into Xbox Live.
You just can't log into Xbox Live.
Right. And I don't really care because I'm playing the Old Republic anyway. But it's really inconvenient and it sucks. And instead it should be, hey, we're trying to figure this out for you, guy. We'll help you out. But instead it's like, we haven't really noticed a problem on our end. And that's not what you want to hear when you're a customer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was reading comments on... a site called Inside Gaming Daily, where people are still reporting that it's been months
that's
been going on, that it's still not resolved,
and
that Microsoft is dragging their feet. They're not restoring points to accounts.
I want to see Electronic Arts do something, too, because it's their goddamn game that people have.
Yeah, it was their game that they found the exploit in.
Right. Whatever they did when they set this game up, they could put out a patch and make it turn it off. And investigate it. And I don't think anyone from America is going to do this. FIFA 12? Come on.
Yeah, how many people are playing FIFA 12 in America?
Right. But it's really annoying when you get shit stolen from you. I know it's kind of trivial, the Xbox Live points. You know, like, oh, you can get more or whatever.
It's 600 points. That's what? Would you say $11?
It's having something stolen just sucks and you feel violated, especially
You feel violated.
You know, it's funny. Some people said, I have FIFA achievements now. Like, they played the game for a while under my account. And I remember one guy, you know, some people have different accounts on their one Xbox, like their kids or whatever. And he was like, I just saw myself log in as I was playing on my son's account. You know, I saw my name say so-and-so was logged in. He's like, what the hell?
It's all just so strange to me. I think Microsoft should be a little more open, and they should be going after EA to make a statement about it.
You would think there would be
to have been going on since October.
I would hope that they could track an IP that logged in under my name.
Yeah,
I would hope they could at least have the power to do that.
What I don't even understand, this must have happened with one of the most recent updates going back to October, because before that, Xbox Live was like a freaking vault.
It was like
you could not log in to your account on another console without transferring your profile to that console or using that memory card. And
it was like
I hated it.
Yeah. It was like a cloud where you were just stuck with all your information on that console.
Yeah, it was like your console number was registered to your account. Everything was registered to that console. If you had to transfer games that you had bought on Xbox Live over to another console, you then had to go online and transfer the certificates, the digital certificates, to the other console.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you still have to do that now. But it seemed so much more secure.
Yeah, I do.
And with all these new updates, and quite frankly, this new Xbox, I updated a while back, but when I turned it on last night to make sure all my settings were right, I was just like, "What am I looking at?"
It's
just so
confusing.
So busy and blocky and filled with advertisements.
It's confusing as shit. And
yeah,
somehow they did something wrong when they redid it.
Yeah,
where it's exploited now. That sucks, and it sucks when something like that happens. And I feel for the people who had a lot of money. Like, hey, I'll just put my checking card on here. It's like bad idea, buddy.
Yeah, the moment I heard that you were hacked, and then saw that all this stuff is going on, I removed every form of payment from my account and changed my password.
Yeah, that's the best thing to do. And I remember saying, hey, they accept PayPal now, and I didn't change it to PayPal. Thank God.
Yeah. And all this guy...
credit cards that you have on a limit on, you know, $100 or whatever.
Yeah, that's what, like everything, you can get a Visa gift card for $25, and if something asks for a credit card, just use that, you know?
And what I think is bullshit is that someone interviewed the director of policy and enforcement at Microsoft, and he said that there's only three core ways that they can gain access to your account, and that's phishing scams, social engineering, or using the same password for multiple accounts. And all three of those are bullshit. You know, you would know that if you were part of a phishing scam to get your password for
right.
Xbox Live. Same with social engineering. What, is somebody going to call up and go, hey, I'm from Xbox, and we need to verify your account details? You
and
would
seriously,
know.
Seriously, the phishing thing, I never click on anything in my emails. And also, the Xbox, you know, you get those Xbox Live tells you what's coming out. I delete all those. I don't even look at them.
They're freaking spam. They're junk mail.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's annoying,
but it's just, and then the same password for multiple accounts. What, I'm going to, you know, use the same password for my banking, and then someone's going to take it from there and go, oh, I wonder if they use this on Xbox Live.
So, and I'm not going to add any more points until this shit is over with, because I don't want something else to happen and get stolen again. And so if anybody who's listening has an Xbox, and you just look on there, and if it says that you've played FIFA 12 and you don't own it, then somebody's at least tried to do something with your account, you know? Maybe you didn't have any points or something.
I haven't updated mine in so long.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry
about
it.
Please, Steven. I think yours has cobwebs in it. You've got a whole colony of...
My brother plays DVDs.
But all I know is this. I would have been pissed off if they would have stolen it before I got a chapter for Emma's Game. And I saw I would have been pissed. Like, you bastards! Oh, man. That internet shit is so scary when you think about shit being stolen. Like,
are they so afraid of... I mean, right now, if I was at Microsoft at Xbox, I would shut down, you know... Even if this is going to affect all the different companies, indie game companies, everything, I would shut down all processing on Xbox Live and get this figured out. The moment it happened back in October.
Shut it down, like, even for 24 hours to investigate it.
Figure it out. Don't do the Sony thing and dance around it until it gets worse and worse and then snowballs out of control.
The Sony thing was so bad. You know, it was they shut it down to figure it out, you know?
They did. They shut it down for, it was a month almost.
Right now, Xbox is doing the wrong thing. They're not admitting anything's wrong while every day more people are getting their money stolen.
They're not only not admitting anything's wrong, they're blaming it on the people that it happens to.
Did you click on something in a website or something? Huh?
Yeah.
Are you an idiot?
It's like, no, asshole. They easily logged in. All they had to use is my player ID, and they transferred all of their shit to their console. It's so sucky.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, let's talk about what's on our TiVo. Entertainment Landfill version, where we talk about two shows, right, Mel?
What shows would those be?
The first one I want to talk, I've caught up on Top Chef Texas.
Yeah, I watched the most recent episode, but I have to admit, I haven't watched it since break. I mean, I zoned out mainly because I haven't connected with anyone on the show. There's no one I can root for. There's a bunch of people that are just nasty to one another.
There's the meek little Asian lady who is getting picked on by that big lady.
Yeah. Oh, that big lady is so irritating.
She threw her under the bus when it was
It took her 2 days to peel shrimp.
What was so stupid about that, it was the one where they were eliminating two people from the team. Like, a team of two and you're going home. And she was throwing her under the bus like, dumb bitch, they'll send you home too if they send her home.
Yeah.
She was just being like, just tacky, and it had nothing to do with that task, even that whatever they were doing.
It's just whenever somebody, you know, it's that unexplainable general dislike.
Yeah, she was working all day on shrimp for 200 people. It's like 200 people, that's a lot of people. Is that 200 shrimp?
Like, how many shrimp?
That's a shitload of shrimp, man.
I mean,
man.
If you get two apiece,
it's just stupid.
Two, that's a ripoff.
That's what I'm saying.
I want at least five.
I want at least eight shrimp, man.
Yeah, okay, I'm upgrading. Eight. And what size are the shrimp? Are they under 16s?
I want jumbo.
Well, I guess it would be an under 16 a pound, a jumbo.
Jumbo shrimp.
Are they Alaskan spot prawns?
Well, what's funny is this week, Bill, they did, you know, because they're in Texas and they got to do all the Texas thing, right?
The Texas thing's getting a little old.
Put another shrimp on the barbie.
Oh, shut up, Sharon.
Texas is getting old? What?
Well, you know, they try to, like, reinforce, like, the whole Texas stereotype.
That reminds me of that SpongeBob. What's so great about dumb old Texas? What did you say? Sandy Squirrel. But, yeah, when they announce barbecue, there's a one girl who's from Texas. She's like, woo! She's, like, over-celebrating where it's embarrassing. Like, yeah, Texas barbecue! Hey,
are you from Texas or are you just an idiot?
Yeah, let's go ahead and play this. And the girl, this is what always happens on the show where someone gets real excited because, oh, I know how to cook this. And they do something to screw it up, don't they? And she gets heat exhaustion from being out in the sun and over a barbecue pit.
That kind of came out of nowhere.
I know, and I love the one Asian guy. What is his name? Edward or something. Like, he's just pissed off. I would have stuck it out.
he's another one of those people that are just an asshole
he's just
to
like
everyone.
Such a dick. And when she comes back, she's like, where can I help? He's like, we're doing better at our two-man system.
And then when the shit hits the fan, automatically he shifts all blame to someone else or, you know, something else.
I'm not sure why they panicked and just started chopping all their meat in half and stuff. We got to chop it now. Why did they do that? They just freaked out.
If anyone has ever been to an actual barbecue restaurant or seen someone make barbecue or watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or, you know, you see that they cut the brisket to order.
Right.
Because the moment you cut it, it starts to lose juice.
Right. And
anybody with half a brain knows that.
Whatever reasons they had were stupid to do that, to do it early. But anyway, let's check this out. A nice little montage here.
I'm talking about the most traditional food in Texas. Barbecue.
say the most traditional
I am so
Tex-Mex.
I'm excited that it's barbecue. I love to grill. This is the challenge I've been looking forward to.
Nathan took first place in the World Barbecue Championships in Memphis, Tennessee.
Oh, God.
What can't this guy do? Everything he touches, he becomes an expert at. Nathan's like this weird Renaissance man that's been dropped in from outer space.
Really, and we're going to get lemons over yonder, right? Yep.
Sarah's Texas accent is getting thicker by the minute. The first couple of weeks, she's like, oh, I'm Chicago. Now it's like, oh, I'm Texas. You know, whatever. It's annoying.
Okay. It's probably 100 degrees. The pit is a monster. Breathing in heavy smoke constantly is hard.
Well, you know, Sarlacc pits are dangerous.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I need a medic. I'm feeling a little...
Yeah, we got it.
Sarah, okay?
Hold up your face, okay?
Just breathe. It's going to be okay. It's okay. Sarah's like,
I'm so glad that girl went over and told her just breathe. Yeah, in case she might forget.
Oh, ambulance.
All I'm coming to Sparta, not compete.
I understand that, but this doesn't mean it's the end.
All of a sudden, it's become kitchen nightmare.
Got this.
Yeah.
This is real deal, no joke.
I want you to concentrate on getting better, okay?
Sarah's very upset, and I understand exactly how concerning it would be to have to leave. It puts you at a real risk for going home.
You got a second? Sarah's pretty much, he got to her, and they had to take her to the hospital. You guys are on your own. You guys are okay with that?
Thank you for that eloquent explanation.
Okay, let's do it.
Obviously, the first thing we both think is she okay? I mean, what's wrong? Is she dead? I don't know. If it was me, I would have pushed through it.
Jimmy, wow. We're really going to have to bust some ass. Me and Ed whip out our knives and start
cutting
up that
meat. Bring out the gurney.
My blood pressure and my heart rate came down, and I think I'm going to be okay. I really want to finish helping the team.
All of a sudden, here comes Sarah trucking back to help us.
Is the breast juicy?
Yeah. The only thing she's worried about is her chicken.
Why don't we switch the chicken here, and I can serve the chicken, and then just...
No. We got it. Please. Let's just Even go. Though we were down one person, we kind of developed this system.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Jesus Christ, we can do faster without her.
This is a brutal service.
Give me your five best right here. I'm going to serve those, okay? Give me your five best right in this corner.
I understand what you're saying to me.
Why is he slapping the table?
Edward is being really rude and mean, and I'm sure that he is frustrated with the situation, but it's not something malicious that I thought, hey, let me really screw my team and get real sick.
You like how she came back just in time to play hers and then leave again?
That was funny. He just held that against her. He's being a little petty there, I think.
Petty? He's being an asshole.
The other guy seemed like a decent guy. The first thing he asked her is like, are you doing better? You know, he didn't freak out over
He doesn't want her in the kitchen if she's not feeling well.
Yeah.
If the heat is going
to
attack.
The heat has gotten to her.
You know what's funny is they visited.
Just say she had heat stroke.
Right.
Rapid pulse, weakness, confusion.
Slap an IV on her. She'll be back tomorrow or something.
Exactly. I don't know why they didn't slap an IV on her there.
Right.
That medic was like, oh, I'm going to call it.
Yeah, we're getting you out of
throw her in a van.
And if it was Hell's Kitchen, it would have been,
oh, yeah.
You know, just hold
they would have had a police
thing.
Escort.
Dun, 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 dun. You know, it would have been this dramatic thing. And it's like, oh, my God. But and they would have had a diary session where she's like, I don't know what was going to happen.
I thought I was going to die.
But they showed a barbecue place on here called the Salt Lick.
Yes.
Where even one of the guys said, I don't know how I'm going to make barbecue as good as this.
And I've seen that place on so many shows, whether it's like on the Travel Channel where they do those paradise shows, like Barbecue Paradise. And I've always been impressed that they use, like, hardwood. They don't, you know, it's not charcoal, it's not gas, it's not propane, it's hardwood.
It looks
beautiful. That is a bitch to cook.
But I think it's funny that, you know, one guy acknowledged that there's no way he could top how good this place was.
And not when they're doing it for how long they've been doing it.
And what I thought was funny is that guy, he had this moment where he's like, there's no way I could top this. And he was like, I'm going to do kind of an Asian barbecue. And he won by trying something different.
Didn't he do the watermelon that was fish sauce watermelon or something?
Yeah, it sounded crazy, but they're like, oh, this is neat. But
I bet it really worked because of the saltiness and the sweetness.
When the people were like, oh, let's do baked beans and coleslaw. I was like, wow, to really be creative there, huh? How to at least do potato salad.
Do German potato salad.
Do barbecue beans or something. I mean, trick it up. But anyway, I mean, the show is entertaining, but I haven't cared yet on anybody who's gotten eliminated. Yeah. But they've been doing the Last Chance Kitchen, which is a total ripoff of Master Chef, guys. Come on.
Oh, I've seen that advertised, and I just don't even care to look.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but apparently the black chick, she's been like mowing through everybody on that.
I don't remember her.
She was the one who was like, it's really a shame that I went home for this. I didn't get to... She went home for some dumb reason where she didn't
to
show her cooking. And she was pissed, but she's like eliminating each person every week on the Last Chance Kitchen.
Was hers an appetizer she went home on?
It was something really dumb, and I thought it was kind of lame. But it was... I can't remember. Sometimes you go home like for... somebody else doing your meat or something. Like the one guy who went home because he made the extra salty sauce. I was glad they sent him home. Because I would be pissed if I would have made awesome ribs and then he put his salty sauce on there and ruined it.
Get your salty sauce off my ribs.
But it was the guy who did the naked women paintings.
Yes, he's quite the artiste.
Yeah, poor guy. Too bad he got
I mean, he's obviously incredibly vain. And then to do, like, nudes, when he brings a woman, has his family ever come to that place?
He's like, so look at my nude women paintings.
But... Yeah, it's so embarrassing and strange and, like, creepy molesteriness.
But seriously, isn't, like, the worst sin you can do as a chef to oversalt something?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
You can't take the salt to last forever.
Yeah, you can't oversalt stuff. Now, the other show I wanted to talk about is Work of Art, because there was like four episodes I watched in a row. I really lost track of that show over the vacation, but I caught up on it, and I really got into the finale of that show. Like, I was getting worked up where I was, like, worrying, because it came down to the three people. It was Young, the Asian guy, who I don't like any of his artwork the entire season. Hated all of it. I mean... Hated
it. Like the sleepy guy from last season.
Yeah, they're frauds. I mean, I don't have anything against the guy. He seems like a nice guy and all that, but his art makes me sick. I don't like it. I hate it. I detest his art. And it has nothing to do with him being gay. I have no problem with that at all. That's fantastic. I'm glad he's in love. But his art sucks. I'm sorry. And they just loved his stuff every week. And that street art he did with Dusty... Oh, so bad.
It's when pandering. Just pandering.
I was trying to think of a good word for it, Bill.
When Dusty got eliminated, didn't care. He didn't really do anything great. That surveillance t-shirt cracked me up.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know what the hell it was.
He did the America shape.
Don't you get we're all being watched by someone, and we don't know what's going on.
Eyes on your back, so you do.
I'm going to, I'm going to go home and have some McDonald's.
I thought Lola had a horrible attitude.
Lola, she really needs slapped.
I love how that one thing she got naked and had secrets on there, and she was successful doing that, but she didn't win. She looked so pissed when she didn't win.
The only reason she even got any attention was because she was naked.
Right. And,
and that's what she resorted to. She knew... that she would get attention from it.
And Sarah Jimenez, she had the best idea. I'll charge for portraits. And her portraits were really cool looking.
Yeah, I thought that was a good idea. Those were the sketches with like watercolor, right?
Yeah,
right.
5-minute sketch.
Yeah, they're really...
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Really well done and cool. She seemed really cool. And the girl that... In fact, Lola was mean to the whole season or just acted...
indifferent and nasty?
Yeah, she just wouldn't answer her, whatever it was... why did I forget her name?
Kimia,
yeah. And Kimia, when she would do illustrations, she was incredibly talented. Remember that one of the lady on the ground whose stomach is burst open or whatever?
She ate the last carrot and it killed her?
Yeah, it was really cool drawing. And in fact, when they did that thing where they visited that town and they did, they had to find someone to do kind of a biographical portrait, you know, and she did that weird eccentric couple with all their objects.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When I first saw that, boom, I was like, that is awesome. I love that picture. I thought it was really cool. And the one guy was like, well, when I first saw that, I was kind of like, you know, like vomit or whatever. And she's like, what? But then, you know, I kind of kept looking at it. It's really
good. Then I met the people.
Yeah. But I was like, when I first saw it, I was like, that is an incredible portrait there, the way she drew it. Just talent is when Abdi last season, when I saw the first painting he did, just how talented he was as an illustrator, I was like, I love that guy because he's, you know, shows he's got that talent. There was one chick on this season also that got eliminated pretty early. I forget her name, but she did really good paintings of people and stuff. When I see somebody can actually do like a technically great illustration, I just love, I'm more respect for that than taking weird shit and making mobiles and things. I don't really.
And trying, they can actually perform art as otherwise trying to convince people something's art.
Right. When Young had that man, that painter do a portrait of him, and then he did weird pieces of photos like draped around it. I thought that was horseshit.
The feather thing that he did. Remember, he was jumping around in his underwear, and then put feathers all over himself except his eyes.
And he won a lot of tasks or whatever that are challenges, but. So I thought that Sarah and Kimia was I was like, okay, that's cool that they're getting in there into the finale. And Young, I was worried that he was going to win the whole time because I just did not like his stuff. And, I feel for the guy. His dad died, and it meant a lot to him. And
But again, that's another one of those situations where you don't have the emotional response that he would if you haven't been through that situation.
And I almost feel like the one guy, he was like, you know, it's kind of on shaky ground where it's like, am I supposed to feel bad where I'm going to, you know, he didn't say it outright. But what it is, am I going to be guilted into making him the winner because this is about his dead
exactly.
father?
It's emotional manipulation.
Yeah. And he's got his shirts and stuff. But what Kimia did also based on the death of her father was so much more.
Deep and artistic and beautiful.
Deep and artistic, yes, beautiful. And I was incredibly moved by her boat picture.
I thought it was absolutely incredible. When I first saw it, I was taken back by it because it struck a chord in me for some reason. And then whenever she told the story of it, I was emotionally moved.
I was too. My heart was beating faster, and it blew me away emotionally. And that's what a piece of art should hopefully do is, you know, sometimes like if it makes you think something, at least something there, but that like blew me away. Like, whoa.
Well, and see, you know, see it's a different interpretation for everyone, but then seeing that lifting of life of spirit silhouetted against this sail in this vast ocean, you know, the way it represents moving on.
Right, and she conveyed it so well, too.
Yeah, and then whereas you have Young, who just had pictures of his dying father.
Kind of dwelling on the past.
Yeah.
It wasn't about his father moving on. It was, like, about him dying.
It was about dwelling on death, but Kimia did the thing where she concentrated on death, but it moved from death to, you know, the after.
Yeah, she was basically how she was dealing with where did her father go and his spirit and all that. And
it was like a stages of grief.
Right. And it was really just beautiful the way she did it. And
the only thing with Young's stuff too was, I mean, you had all these random shirts and any of the photos, one of the other guest artists in there said the same thing. It was like, your father's not wearing any of these shirts in any of these photos. So,
how does it tie together?
Yeah, what's the connection?
It looks like a bunch of laundry hanging around.
Yeah,
it didn't look good.
But again, also, I agree with that. But again, to say for the same thing, this guy, this cause, he said that for everyone. He said that for every single one of the art pieces. What are these sculptures? It doesn't connect. What is this? These papers, these don't connect. What is this spider? Everything with him was like they didn't have a connection.
Yeah, it was Kimia's little burial mound things.
Yeah, which I thought were cool. I mean, it didn't really have the weight that the pictures had.
It didn't take away from anything.
Yeah, her talent lies in her her illustrations. But as like if you see that before you see her pieces, I think the emotional impact of what you had just seen, you know, kind of prepares you for it.
Well, like Sarah's thing with the birds flying out of the cage, I thought it was beautiful. But does it mean anything or whatever?
Sure.
I don't know. But
it's beautiful in the way that you would see that at like a wedding.
Yeah. I mean, it's really cool how she did it. But her.
Yeah.
Well, those were all the scraps of paper that had the secrets. And those were secrets escaping.
Yeah. Yeah. It right. just. It. Does,
but again, it if you didn't know that already.
Right. That's what I was getting at. Unless
it just
she knew
didn't.
That's what it was.
Kimmy is like moved me emotionally. I guess I would say the others didn't. And no. I felt kind of shaky on the young stuff because I was like. How do you not, I couldn't critique this because it's obviously personal to the guy and I don't want to hurt his feelings or whatever. And it's sad about his dad. And that's one thing I love about the, what's the British guy who he visited them. Mm-hmm. I love that he tells him.
Oh, you mean Simone?
Yes, yeah, Simone. I love how he tells him, you know, like, this isn't working for me. In fact, it's very boring. And like he told Kimia, like that one weird sculpture she did, which I thought was really cool looking, kind of weird. But he's like, no one would ever buy this. This is hideous. And she's like, oh, okay. And so it's good that he kind of like lights a fire under their ass. Like, you're not done. You know, this.
Oh, God. Can you imagine what it would have been if.
Crystals, that sculpture with those crystals sticking out of your eyes.
Yeah.
Or even like.
But also young with that. Thing that he was going to drag around to all the different places.
Yeah.
That was an idea that was incomplete, you know? It was just like...
It didn't do anything. And Sarah's weird caricatures of people, he's like, I don't know if you want to use these. It's funny how he walks away and they're kind of like, oh shit, what am I going to do?
Working for 3 months.
And... Young kind of reminded me of, was this Miles from last season?
Where yes.
It's a guy who won several competitions over and over again. He was the favorite going in and he's just got nothing for the finale thing. Remember, Miles really like phoned it in. He like got trapped in his brain somewhere in some stupid repeating thought, but Young got trapped in this really personal idea, but nobody else could be moved by it like him.
Well, what happened was Simone was so touched by the shrine that Young had in his art space that Young got so like, oh, he really likes this. I'll just do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of. He just let that take over entirely.
He built a shrine to his dad, but that... I'm sorry, just...
That's a personal thing.
Yeah, and it's all right to have... To be personal, like, Kimia's worked much better. His was just like...
Hers was anonymously...
Yeah, his...
Exactly, you can connect with it.
Yeah, a bunch of his dad stuff, and I hope he's dealt... Like he said, like, now that I've dealt with this, I can move on, you know, past his dad.
Well, it lost you the competition.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's check out the winner of Work of Art. I made the clip, might as well listen to it.
It's down to the two of you.
Young, I feel like we saw you being born here as an artist. You got stronger and more articulate every week, and it's really moving and really powerful.
Thank you. Kimia, your powers of invention resonated with all of us. Both the scale and the skill of these drawings really brought your show to life. Impressive.
Thank you.
Is this music from 24?
Congratulations.
I was like, oh my God, please don't. No, not Young.
Kimia. You're the winner of Work of Art, the next great artist.
And when she won, I was like, yes, 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 yes. I was like so happy it wasn't Young.
Thank you so much. Oh my God.
Have you ever seen a girl cry so much?
Well done.
I couldn't be more shocked and shaky and happy.
Coming in second, hurt a little bit because I really put myself out there, but I'm not going to stop. It's not a job. It's not a passion. It's, you know, a life, and this is my life.
Like what? This is amazing.
Hopefully there's some passion in there, and yeah, I just...
Yeah, I was telling Jason that I was at the Modern here in Fort Worth, and there's a... The Cause has a show going on up there, you know, some of his work.
I mean, I think his stuff is interesting. He had the weird statue with it, like, open, and you can see its guts or whatever. It's interesting, I guess.
Mm.
It's kind of hard.
It's awful. I don't know. It just seems kind of one-dimensional in a way, that whole cartoony kind of thing. I mean, I guess that's his thing, just like, you know, Banksy's is the, anarchist.
They showed his stuff pretty quick, but I mean, some of it I thought it was visually striking, at least, you know. Okay. But I would find it hard to critique other people's. I mean, I know I just did with Young, like, it's horseshit, but I mean, like, I couldn't be on a show and be like, this is horseshit, you know.
I guess my thing is, I'm not a fan of that kind of like pop culture art,
right?
And that seems to be what Cause is all about. It uses a lot of pop culture references, whether it's Snoopy or that mouse type character. Yeah, I'm just not into that.
All of a sudden you're auto-tuning, Bill, so I don't know. Yep, auto-tuning. Sounds excellent. Good, though. Sounds really good.
Am I back yet?
No.
Oh.
The suicidal socialite.
Excuse me?
Maybe I should put it on hold.
No, you sound good now.
Oh, okay.
I'm a goofy goober,
Now, Bill, on Entertainment Landfill, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to have a entertainment news segment. What do you say?
All right.
It might be a little bit like our regular news segment. All right, let's check it out. Woo-hoo! Entertainment news. That's the news. I'm not fooling anybody.
Appetizing food fitting neatly into interesting round pie.
Yes, it does. All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week?
All right, David O. Russell, the Oscar-nominated director behind The Fighter.
All right, Bill, go ahead and go on hold for a second.
All right.
Call on hold.
I'm back.
All right, let's start over.
All right. David O. Russell, the Oscar-nominated director behind The Fighter, is under investigation in Florida for copying a feel of his 19-year-old transgender niece. But Russell told cops it was totally consensual.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Broward County Sheriff's Department has confirmed Russell has been accused of inappropriately grabbing his niece's breasts during a workout session at a South Florida hotel gym on December 30th. According to a police report taken 3 days after the incident, Russell's niece, who was born a man and is currently in the preoperative phase of her transition, so she's
still a man.
So how could he grab breasts?
I'm so
she's
confused.
She didn't get the shots to make the breasts.
Not lesbian, man. Just yes.
So like estrogen?
Yeah.
So man boobs?
So is it a dude or a...
You know, I hate to be insensitive here. It's so confusing to me.
Mentally, she thinks she's a girl. Physically, her body's a guy.
Okay. All right. I got it. Thank you. The niece, who does not have a blood relation to Russell, told cops they began to talk about her breasts and how certain hormones she's taking have made them larger.
Hi.
According to the report, the niece claims Russell then put his hands under her top and felt both breasts. Well, he's an asshole. And he sees her as a him still. So he felt it would be okay. Cops say the woman said she felt uncomfortable, but admitted she did not ask him to stop at any time.
Because I'm about to slap the out of you, bitch.
Well, it's not like he's going to have sex with her.
You're sitting there discussing this, and then he's like, hey, let's see how they feel, essentially. It's like...
Yeah.
Very nice breasts. Very nice breasts, actually.
Okay, well, then that's real sound. Apparently he enjoyed it.
He was complimentary, at least, you know?
Russell told cops that his niece then allowed him to touch... to feel and touch both of her breasts, so... You know, conflicting stories. Sounds like she's kind of a drama queen.
Tell me more. It was like it was more not sexual, but you know, kind of clinical. You know,
yeah, exactly. Kind of Russell told cops his niece asked him to swear that he would never tell anyone about the incident. Cops say Russell insisted he repeatedly asked his niece if she was ever uncomfortable during the incident. Russell stated his niece is always causing drama since the transgender transformation and has become very provocative and seductive. So it sounds like...
And yes, they are exceptional.
Yes. She's kind of, a drama queen.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't want anyone grabbing my, hormone-grown breasts either.
Hormone-grown breasts, yeah. Yep. Well, you know, they are your breasts, whether yeah. they're...
David O. Russell should know to keep his hands to himself.
Yeah.
David O. Russell.
Expose her breast.
All right, and now I think Kirstie Alley's finally got herself together.
Oh, good.
Yep. Maybe the Scientology has helped her flesh out her problems with men, but she's going to start dating but ugly men, she said on an episode of the Ellen DeGeneres Show that will air this Friday.
I love Ellen.
Oh yeah, she's so witty, and I love her man's clothing. is she transgendered? Or she just dresses like a man?
Nope, she's just a lesbian.
All right. When asked about her dating life by Ellen, Allie, 60, admitted she usually goes for psychos and players. So the host suggested she try going with the opposite of what she's attracted to.
Wait, Ellen had Kirstie Alley on her show?
Yes.
It's a rumor that she's a Scientologist.
Oh. I had no idea.
Wow, and did not know that. Yes, everyone knows that, right?
I'm thinking ugly men might be the solution, the Dancing with the Stars alum responded. I'm talking about butt ugly, because I go for really handsome men, and I think butt ugly would be appreciative.
Hell yeah. Oh, I mean, I got nothing.
Allie, who's twice divorced, recently told People she's looking for love. What else would she like for her upcoming 61st birthday? I want an Aston Martin and a tattoo.
And you're an ugly...
And both of those would help her get men, I'm sure.
Hell yeah. I got nothing.
Wow.
Oh my god, it's so ugly.
You know, sometimes when we become irregular, you need a little help.
Oh yeah, I know I do.
I know Jamie Lee Curtis likes to advocate the use of Activia.
Fart.
Which is a yogurt with...
Activia!
Which one is it? There's two different poop yogurts. One of them uses Bifidus regularis. No.
Goddamn, dude.
Yes, I think he ate too much. And one of them uses some other form of Bifidus regularis. Well, that's the cheap way to go. And I'm not a cheap person. And I know you're not a cheap person. And well, Steven isn't cheap you. Either.
Uh-oh, fart.
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow isn't cheap either.
Oh, good.
And she has launched a luxury lifestyle group called Goop.
Okay.
And apparently she must have butt problems also.
Oh, don't we all?
Yes. So she likes a good cleanse. She's created the goop cleanse.
I have to fart!
And for as little as $425...
Oh, wow.
You too, can get this goop cleanse kit.
Release the Kraken!
Goddamn, dude.
That includes a protein powder for nourishing, a fiber powder for moving, a probiotic antimicrobial to, you know, clear out the bad mojo.
And why are we standing here in a toilet?
An insulin regulator to make sure your system is balanced.
Wow.
A manual so that you don't do these things out of order.
Yeah, you gotta have the instruction booklet.
Yes, you apparently need a very lengthy instruction booklet.
Yeah.
There's a digestive enzyme to ease your transition to the other side. There's a strong probiotic to encourage more shitting, and an herbal antimicrobial, you know, because you've already taken one antimicrobial. This one needs to be
you got to level out your.
Yeah, it's got to be herbal. You know,
just
something.
Shit them out. Shit all of them out. Whole.
Something natural, and finally. You need something to support your liver, which is the cleansing organ. And why not give it a little relief with this support for your liver? And if you want to continue, you know, shitting your guts out, there's a recipe guide that comes with it. So, you know, I'm glad that Gwyneth Paltrow has, you know, taken this mantle of shit queen and encourages people to go out and spend.
Did she really give herself that unflattering title?
Looks like you're having a.
No, I did. But come on, it's $425 for this ridiculousness.
Wow.
I mean, if you're constipated, go to your doctor and get a prescription laxative.
Wow, don't this looks spend, like shit.
Don't spend $425 on this friggin' snake oil.
Oh, cut the shit.
All right. And moving on, Jenny McCarthy is a big star. I mean, I think we can all agree with that. Huge. And she says she won't do Dancing with the Stars because they don't get A-list stars.
Okay.
And she apparently considers herself A-list. She's turned down the chance to appear on Dancing with the Stars countless times.
I thought you guys just ate donuts.
What?
She's turned it down countless times because producers can't come up with other worthwhile celebrities to dance, you know, on the same show.
Lust. I want you to be a dirty girl.
She was a former Playboy Playmate. 30 years ago, I think. She once dated Jim Carrey.
Yeah,
so
hey.
I guess that puts her up a little higher.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's been on... She revealed that she's been on the producer's wish list for years. But she just won't go on.
Yes, no, yes, no.
Anything lately.
Yeah, you know, it's like she says that... they keep saying every year you're going to get A-list people, and then it's the girl that was with George Clooney. That's a quote from her.
She was on there a long time ago before she met George Clooney.
I don't know. Jenny McCarthy's an idiot who needs to go away.
The dancing machine!
She was on that Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve, which I had on for about 5 seconds because it's painfully awful. I remember when I was a kid, we would watch it because it was tradition. And I don't remember it being particularly bad except for the L.A. stuff
more
that was pre-taped.
More wasted asses than Fanny and Freddy.
But now it's just so bad.
It's really sad.
I mean, yeah, and it's depressing. It's depressing as hell. I forget who on Twitter did it, but I think it was Cliff Bleszinski from the guy that did runs Epic Games, that did the Gears of War games. He said, when did Dick Clark get back from Loompa Land? Because Dick Clark looked like an Oompa Loompa. He was orange.
Oh,
it was terrible. It was way too much bronzer.
I guess that's the one thing he looks forward to every year.
Yeah, he's really holding on to it, man. And I think it was funny because this year he was actually like a second behind the countdown.
Oh.
I mean, honestly, he's like 10 and they're already on 9.
You know, we watch local coverage and it's painful, but it's a tradition now. We've done it like the last 3 years.
The ones at the start in front of the
Victory Plaza.
Yeah, well, also, is the stuff from the East Coast delayed an hour for you, or does it air like as it's aired?
It's aired as it's aired.
Yeah.
Okay, so their New Year's is 11 p.m. for you.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I was flipping around. There was some really bad ones on there. I think even the Carson Daly had some guy I'd never heard of who insisted on being called J.B. Smoove. S-M-O-O-V-E.
I'm J.W. Smoove, so that's pretty cool.
There you go. But you're S-M-O-O-T-H. This guy is he's urban. He's smooth.
Oh, he's smooth. Okay.
Smooth, yeah.
What do you always tell when Jason gets in my way? Smooth over.
Smooth
over. Yeah, I was flipping through. You know what I ended up on? I missed the countdown entirely because PBS had Austin City Limits, a Coldplay New Year, and it was just all their appearances. Live appearances on Austin City Limits, so I ended up putting that on.
Yeah, the best thing on something like that, just do one of the marathons they show.
Yeah, it was that. I flipped between that, and I flipped between the Twilight Zone Marathon.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Twilight Marathon.
Yes, I watched those films over and over again.
It'll be cold in there.
Yes. I haven't watched any of The Next Great Baker.
Oh, I've watched one episode. I need to catch up on it. I'm going to go through a marathon session of that.
Wow. You're a better man.
I'm just entertained by it. It's so bad. I just love the end where he's like, get in truck. And they get on the box
get
truck.
Get in truck.
I love the box truck, guys.
Get in truck.
Is there anything better than the refrigerated box truck?
The box truck is basically a refrigerator. If you leave it running, it's, you know, refrigerated box truck. It'll be cold in there.
Oh, in there.
And that's the entertainment news.
All right. Woohoo! Good entertainment news. Yeah. Woo! I got nothing. That was awesome, Bill. What do you say we do some DVD entertainment? Entertainment DVDs.
In there?
In there.
Yes.
All right, let's do it. DVDs!
DVDs! HD Blu-ray Standard Definition!
DVDs!
I'm a goofy goober, yeah!
Whore.
Excuse me, sir? Huh?
Daryl does not compute.
No, he doesn't. All right, Bill, what do we have in the DVDs this week? Maybe we have Daryl on Blu-ray?
No, we don't. I'm sorry.
Sophisticated computerized robot.
No, damn.
All right.
Hey, Bill, Daryl, next movie, Nim Movie Mini.
Oh, my God.
What do you guys think of that?
Whore.
Hey.
That guy's not very nice.
Blood Beetle Clap Fliggeroo! I glib you for biggity blah blah goodbye. I glob blah McGibbity glue.
Gabiggity blue.
My favorite one is the I bid you for biggity blah blah goodbye.
Otherwise, he's like, I, gabiggity blue 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 blue. Does anyone speak whatever this is?
I haven't seen the preview, so I am unaware of how unintelligible Bane is, but he seemed fine in the trailer.
You believe? I haven't seen the real trailer, so I don't know what he sounds like.
Yeah.
Oh,
So what I want to know is, does the new Batman Dark Knight Rises have a in the trailer at all?
I think so, yeah. Because there's a point where he blows up Heinz Field.
Oh, man, I got to see that. All right, Bill, what DVDs do we
have? That's one hell of a long lid thing. All right.
Is she okay? I mean, what's wrong? Is she dead?
Start off with a movie I've never heard of, but I assume it's one of Jackie Chan's films that he had to make for Communist China because they held a knife to his throat.
Oh, my God.
And that's called 1911 Revolution, Fall of the Last Empire.
Oh.
I'm guessing he's a Chinese soldier, and this is the fall of the Chinese Empire, and they go to communism because communism's so wonderful. I have no idea. I don't know.
Yeah, it does sound like a movie that they made him make.
Yeah, I mean, it really does. It's kind of like that.
Say that again. You are. Wah. Ooh. Yeah.
All right. Foggy found our only Jackie Chan drop.
It's kind of like that movie that was made a couple years ago with all the Chinese stars called Hero, where the whole thing was about, you know, dying for the greater good.
Oh, you're talking about the Jet Li movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember I was watching that, and I told you, you know that's like communist propaganda, right?
Yeah, it's a communist manifesto
film.
And
I was like, really? And really, I didn't get it until the very end where he's been kicking everyone's ass in the movie, and it's been pretty badass. You know, it's a beautiful movie in scope, but at the end when he's going to kill the emperor, and then the emperor basically talks him into, you know, you're supposed to follow your emperor, right? And just get in line. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
And he does it. And I ruined the movie, but he just gives in and dies. Yep. It's horse shit.
Just a ton of arrows come flying at him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. That's a bunch of horse shit.
I guess we need to be commies to understand. He's like, yes, he made good decision.
Yes, you've died for the greater good. Now give your money to the government.
Yes.
What? That's what we have in here.
Before you go, I wanted to tell you that I am truly sorry for what's happened.
Oh, okay.
Excellent. Thank you.
It's Rand Peltzer, Bill.
Oh, he was talking to the Chinese man.
Yes. Ah, oh, it comes together.
You're not responsible.
I wonder if the guy in Gremlins was a commie. You're a dirty commie with that Mogwai, aren't you? I knew it, Bill.
You know what? You're right. And I think Gizmo is communism's ambassador.
Oh, listen. They're whispering communist ideals, Bill. I knew it.
Yep, that's what it is.
Commie propaganda.
All right, moving on. Blu-ray, we have Boardwalk Empire, the complete first season.
I'm really entertained by that show, and this is actually a funny story. I haven't watched any of season two. You know, it's HBO's fault for putting everything on demand where I can watch it at any time.
Yeah.
And I, unbeknownst to me, the finale of it is on. You know how you leave it on a channel or whatever? It's
sure.
On in the background. And there's a shocking ending to the final episode.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm like,
I saw it accidentally, too.
I'm on the computer, and I just kind of look over my shoulder, and I'm like, holy shit! What? And I have ruined the whole series. The season two, I ruined everything for me, and
yep.
I'm really upset. Wow. Yeah.
Trick to the trade, my friend.
So I don't know what to do. I don't even want to watch it. What do you think, guys?
Oh, glib you per biggity blah blah goodbye.
Oh, okay. I'll do that then.
All right. Moving on. I'm trying to sift through the Blu-rays because there are so many re-releases. It's ridiculous. I mean, just an absurd amount of re-releases.
Like what?
We have 40-Year-Old Virgin, 8 Mile, American Graffiti.
And no payoff.
Babe, Beautiful Mind, Billy Elliot, Brokeback Mountain, Bull Durham. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
No, yeah. No Daryl, though. I'm sorry. Oh,
shit. Come on. Where's the Daryl? Wait, what is Daryl?
He's a highly sophisticated computerized robot.
Oh, okay. I forgot.
Next Blu-ray is a film that has divided critics, and that's Jean-Luc Godard's film Socialism.
You really are a son of a bitch, aren't you?
This is one of those films I just don't care about.
Jean-Luc
I don't go
Godard?
To film school. I, you know, just I'll pass entirely. I guess I would need a baguette and.
Oh, glib you per biggity blah blah gabar.
Okay. Yes, I bid this Blu-ray goodbye. Moving on. We have the. Jesus, is there a single film that isn't, like, already been released or no one cares about? Why not pick up this trilogy of suck? John Tucker Must Die. Just Married with Ashton Kutcher and Cameron Diaz, and Just My Luck with Lindsay Lohan and Chris Pine.
I wouldn't be that reckless.
Yeah,
oh,
neither
man,
would
that
I.
That movie with him in with Cameron Diaz, that has that part where it's one of the worst moments in a movie I've ever seen where he thinks it's funny to remove the toilet seat. Remember that? I talked about this. She goes to take a dump or whatever in the middle of the night. She falls in the toilet, and what does he do? He's got the blanket, you know, he's laying on the couch. He pulls the toilet seat out to show the audience that he has this disgusting toilet seat with him under his covers with him. It's a visual joke. He wouldn't do it in reality because he knows the toilet seat's there, but he shows it to an invisible audience and that reality ruins the entire movie.
Wow, you've really overthought that.
I'm a goofy goober, yeah.
It's not that it's just a bad... badly written film with bad
jokes.
This is
one of the blandest movies I've seen all year.
You tell me, Leonard Maltin. You tell me, Leonard Maltin. You communist. What?
All right. Calm down.
All right, I'm settled.
No one's a communist here.
Except that Ashton Kutcher, I tell you.
Well, he is.
No one will listen to me.
I'm going
to
put my foot in your ass.
All right, so now we actually have a new Blu-ray, and that's Killer Elite with Clive Owen, Jason Statham, and Robert De Niro, otherwise subtitled Paycheck.
Yes. Oh, it's like the John Woo movie?
Yes. Which also happened to be a paycheck.
I will admit to you, Bill, I want to see that movie. I want to see
Killer Elite?
Yeah.
Well, I always like Statham and Owen are fun. You know, they're good actors who like to do shitty movies.
Right.
Book him.
Hey, we don't know if
it's
What's the
charge?
What?
He's a cop killer.
Okay, you need to shave that down there, Foggy. But anyway, the Killer Elite, it could be just a fun throwaway action movie.
You know what? It probably is. I'll probably watch it once and then never watch it again.
I'm going to watch it several times.
Oh, well, you've already invested yourself in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? It's Plus, funny. You know what? I used to like look forward to Netflix getting movies.
Uh-huh.
I haven't gotten anything from Netflix since I went strictly streaming. But anymore now, when there's a new movie coming out, I just rent it the day it's released on video on demand on my cable or DirecTV.
You brought up a good thing there because I see people waiting in line at those red boxes.
They're
like
idiots.
Walgreens. Get video on demand on your friggin' DirecTV or whatever you have. Everyone has it now. Get that. Use your Xbox if all your points haven't been stolen.
Yeah, and half the time, the movies aren't in the red box yet. That's like their big thing whenever they advertise video on demand. Is not on Redbox or Netflix.
When I see it, I'm glad people watch movies still and they rent them as a family or whatever. But still, don't do it on the red box. I mean, come on. And I guess it costs a dollar or something, but oh, and also in the Killer Elite, Yvonne Strahovski from Chuck.
Oh my god,
that's how I want to watch that show.
Oh, she just did a photo spread for Sobe Life Water, where she's totally naked except for the body painting.
Oh wow.
Oh my
I
lord,
love her. I do.
That is one attractive young lady.
And you know what else I like about her?
He's a highly sophisticated computerized robot.
No, she's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, Kelly in the chat room just gave a really good point, too. Amazon Video On Demand has become one of my go-to video rental services. Straight from my Roku, always in, you know, HD. It's dependable, and it's really good quality. A lot of times if there's something on Netflix and it looks like shit, if I go to Amazon Video On Demand and pay $2, $3, I can get an HD version or, you know, an infinitely better quality version.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's the best thing about the Roku is the Amazon streaming. And I'm sure other, like, TV sets have that stuff built in, but that's mainly why I use my Roku.
Yeah, I have the Roku.
Love the Roku.
Got that shit.
I keep thinking I want to buy their newest one. Because their newest one, you can plug a USB into it, and it plays all the video files, like MKV, AVI, MP4, all those.
See, Xbox is pretty good at that.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. It'll play.
I guess I just never bother turning my Xbox on anymore.
The Xbox
kind of,
and the PS3 are really good about playing files.
See, the PS3 won't play MKV files. You have to use a program to transcode them. Sorry, I'm getting all geeky. But you can't play a straight MKV file, which is what most HD files now come in whenever you download them.
You despicable people are starting to rub off on me.
I know, it's terrible. Right, moving on. Next Blu-ray is Mooney Ball.
I love Mooney Ball. I've heard of that.
Yeah, so have I.
Hmm.
Mooney Ball.
Mooney Ball.
Mooney Ball. What movie?
Mooney Ball.
Yes. Oh, yes. How does she... It's like two words, but she just does it. I don't know how she does it. It's fantastic.
Mooney Ball.
I think it's the emphasis on the all, the... Money ball.
Yes.
I don't know. I love her.
With my balls in it.
Excuse me?
Yes. Yeah, I'm gonna, this is one of those ones I'll rent on video on demand.
You know what? I want to see it. I mean, if I hear a movie's good, even if it's about baseball, I'll check it out.
Yeah, I'll check it out.
I wonder what Leonard Maltin thought of it.
This film is all set up and no payoff.
Wow, they must not win the World Series in the end.
Bummer. I agree with you, Bane. Bligaroo.
All right, I know you've been waiting for this one all year, and they had to move it to the first release of the Blah biggity blue of 2012, and that's
biggity blah blah goodbye.
That's Scorpion King 3.
Oh, are you shitting me, yo?
Yes, Battle for Redemption.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but this has Billy Zane in it as the Scorpion King.
Wait, what
I believe.
The F? What?
Ron Perlman's in it.
Why?
Because he needed a paycheck.
Straight to video, baby. Ron Perlman gotta eat.
Oh, wait,
he does
no.
Do it's,
oh, it's also got Kimbo Slice.
Oh, nice.
And Dave Bautista, 6-time WWE champion. Wait, how do you become a 6-time WWE champion? Aren't you like. Did they take it away from him 6 times?
Bootylicious.
What?
Isn't that a little. Overly complicated for the WWE stuff.
I'm confused. So
like, keep it. You know what? You just won the championship. No, you didn't. I'm going to take
really
it away.
You are a son of a bitch, aren't you?
Yeah, 6 times, nonetheless. All right, yeah.
I love wrestling, King Bill. Wrestling.
I hate wrestling.
Hey.
Yes, I have wrestled with that.
Oh, okay.
He's wrestled with hating wrestling?
I guess.
Well, so have I guess. All right, moving on. We have Sean Patrick Flannery in Saints and Sinners.
WrestleMania, baby. Here we come.
Sinners and Saints. Sorry. I got that backwards.
Oh, you know what I really, really must see this weekend is Taylor Soldier Spy. I can't say it.
Tinker Taylor Soldier Spy.
I must see this movie.
I want to see it, but I'm prepared to be bored senseless.
Did you guys ever watch Smiley's People with Alec Guinness? Isn't that the same Smiley that Gary Oldman plays?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. I've got to see this.
Because it's based on that...
I love Gary Oldman.
There's a series of books and then a play.
But it's got Gary Oldman. Who else is in the movie?
Everyone! Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes! I love the Cumberbatch!
Yes, he's in there.
What does Leonard Maltin think of Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy?
This is one of the blandest movies I've seen all year.
Oh, I can't go see it now. I always listen to what Leonard Maltin says. Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's all right. But yeah, pick up Sinners and Saints with Sean Patrick Flannery and Tom Berenger and Method Man.
Is it Sean Patrick Flannery that's handsome or the one with the weird face?
He's the one that's handsome.
Okay.
The one with the weird face. Are you talking about Boondock Saints?
Yeah, he's
the one with the weird face is on Walking Dead.
No. I'm talking about Sean Patrick Flannery's face got weird looking.
Oh, yeah. No, he's weird faced. Yeah, because he had surgery or something.
What the hell happened to this? He was stunningly handsome.
Yeah, oh, God. In Powder? Oh. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Young Indiana Jones. He was, like, gorgeous, wasn't he, Steven? He was all bronze and tan and had that flowing
mane. Very, like, homoerotic.
Poor.
Hey.
Oh, my God.
No, but seriously, I want to know what happened to his face.
Why don't you just ask him? What happened to your face?
Blood, middle, clap,
fliggeroo.
Oh, okay. Well, now we know.
Oh. All
right, I recommend this next Blu-ray just because of the title. There Be Dragons.
There Be Dragons. Is this animated?
No. See, it should be.
But oh, no! The moment
you hear who wrote it and directed it, you'll know it is most definitely not an exciting film.
Hi, I'm Danny the Dragon, and I spit fire.
Written and directed by Roland Joffe.
Roland Joffe. I thought you were going to say Uwe Boll.
Uwe Boll, yeah.
Who the hell
no,
is
I think
Roland
I'd prefer Uwe Boll's version.
Uwe Boll.
Who's Roland Joffe?
He's the guy that did The Mission.
Oh.
And, shit, what was that other movie? He's just very kind of a dour director.
So
Killing Fields.
He doesn't do bad films. He makes films that make you want to slit your wrists.
Exactly.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. City of Joy was the other one he did with Patrick Swayze. Where he's like in some shit village in India.
City of Joy.
Yeah, and he's a doctor.
More like
yeah.
City of Dismal.
Yeah. City of holy shit, I want to kill myself.
Lord, McGibbity glue.
Yeah, exactly. McGibbity blue glue.
So, I guess Darby Dragons is an epic story about passion, faith, and betrayal. There you go.
Too bad about Kenny, huh?
What?
I guess that's all we need to know about Darby Dragons.
Is there a guy named Kenny in that?
I hope so.
So, how many people are going to go see this thinking it's animated and they're going to train a dragon in it?
I would have to say the majority. Because the cover really doesn't help the fact that the guy's looking up at the sky and holding a gun.
So, according to the Chinese astrology, you fall under the animal of the dragon.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm thinking if there's an exploding car behind the guy on the cover... And he's looking up at the sky and he's holding a rifle. I'm thinking a dragon just flew over, blew up that car, and now he's looking to see where it is so he can shoot it down.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sold.
All right, next we have, I got to mention it just because I'll probably end up buying it. Waterworld on Blu-ray.
Oh, I love Aquaworld.
And I don't know if it's a re-release. It probably is. But I don't own it yet, so I gotta own this. And it's just because it's just such a mess of a film. But I still enjoy the hell out of it for some reason.
Yeah, it's... Oh. Yeah.
It's wet.
It's,
This is one of the blandest movies I've seen all year.
It's well made. It's got action and stuff, but it is not emotionally. You don't invest anything in this movie.
I could give a shit about the little girl with the tattoo.
You mean Deb from Napoleon Dynamite? That's who that is?
Oh, my God. That is who that is.
That's awesome. But, you know, I don't hate the movie or anything, but it's just like you watch it and it's just like, meh, okay, it's over.
Yeah. But they do find land.
Yes, they do.
I'm very happy for them. And the guy in the oil boat gets blown up and has a funny line where he's like, oh, thank God.
Oh, you mean Oldie Olsen, who used to be on it. Remember, he's down the oil.
What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
It's like, oh, I guess he sees that lighter falling. He goes, oh, thank God.
And you got to love Dennis Hopper in that.
He is pretty insane in that.
I love the guy who's strapped into all the 50 caliber machine guns. He's like, and he's just like,
he can't hear.
Yeah.
He can't see.
Dude, you're turning towards. He's like, ah, and steers right into him. That's pretty funny.
There are funny moments in it.
But
it's just
Kevin Costner is so dull in that, isn't he?
He really is.
Ship is the one that dumped all the oil.
Yeah, remember, Kevin Costner is a muto.
Yes. He can breathe underwater. And he puts that bubble on Jean Triplehorn's head so he can show her the sunken cities. Take this bubble on your head, and I'll show you the world.
He's inventive there, that guy.
Yes, he is. And lastly, this is an Anna Faris film that really just kind of dropped off the – I mean, it made no money in the theater and then instantly put on Blu-ray, and that's What's Your Number?
Bitch, what's your number?
Can 19 Wrongs Make Mr. Right? So, you know, romantic comedy from Anna Faris who – apparently shows off her new implants in this one.
Nice.
Yeah, she gets topless.
Oh, she shouldn't be working that. What? Fan Affairs gotta eat, right?
Yep, exactly. You know, she wants to enough of the mystery has gone on. She wants to show them off now that she's...
You know what? I'm a fan of her. I'll watch that movie. Wonder what Leonard Maltin thought of it.
This is one of the blandest movies I've seen all year.
Come on. I can't watch anything.
Well, it looks pretty awful, but I don't know if it's bland.
You know why it's awful?
This film is all set up and no payoff.
She must not find the right man.
Damn it.
Hyena don't get disturbed.
Yeah, I heard that. I don't know what that means.
I love Long Duck Dong. You know what's funny? Is I was just talking to my dad about that movie.
Oh.
just yesterday I was talking to him about it. He's like, I've never seen that.
Appetizing food fitting neatly into interesting round pie.
It's a quiche.
How do you spell it?
Sam's brother is a little shit in it. You don't spell it, son. You eat it. Exactly.
All right. And that is the DVDs and Blu-rays for this week.
Entertainment DVDs, Bill. All right. Woohoo. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
Trick to the trade, my friend.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And see.
Food fitting neatly into interesting
yes,
round pie.
Yes.
All right, everyone. That was our first episode of Entertainment Landfill. Woohoo! It was so much different. Great deviation from a usual.
Yeah.
It could be Nowhere in Mulberry 251. I don't know. Or it could just be Entertainment Landfill, Bill. What do you say?
Yeah.
Blue, I think either works.
Thank you.
I think it's particularly blue.
Fliggeroo, gabigity. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening and all that kind of stuff. Go to nowhereinmulberry.com. You can find a link to our forum. You know, one thing I want everyone to do is comment. The people who donated, I want to thank you very much for donating for the Mulberry holiday pack of our four NIMH movie minis, Bill. We got Die Hard, Gremlins, Goonies, and RoboCop. And yep. We had a lot of fun making them. If you haven't gotten them yet, donate on nowheremulberry.com and check them out. And I think you'll like them. But the main thing is I want to hear what you thought of them. Because, you know me, I start to die and wither away, Steven, if I don't get any kind of feedback. And what little I've gotten...
You're a feedback vampire.
Yes, I am. My life force will fade. And I'm really into that. And Steven, I announced a winner on Facebook of the NIMH ornament that you made. Mm-hmm. Rick Litster from Australia, he thought that he could donate and win our love, and he did, Bill. He won us over.
Sorry, I was taking a drink.
And we really,
yes, we'll get Rick Litster is an amazing individual.
Yeah, say that again, Steven. You're not loud enough where Bill can't hear you talking.
Oh, I can't. I didn't know Steven was talking.
That's okay. I said I'll get a hold of Rick. I'll send him a Facebook, and I'll get his address, and ship him his prize,
which is not a ball. Yeah, so Rick, congratulations.
Congratulations, Rick.
Thank you for supporting NIMH, and I want to thank everybody else who donated for supporting NIMH, and I hope you like those shows, and hopefully we'll have a Daryl NIMH movie mini soon.
I think we all but have to now, even if we don't want to watch it.
And we'll talk about Turtle in the movie. Remember
Turtle, and isn't Howard Hessman in that? Or no? Howard Hessman's in Flight of the Navigator. That's it. Sorry.
You are the Navigator. Yeah, I remember that. And remember Dave McKean is the dad in Daryl,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah. The doctor that develops Daryl, that the older gentleman.
Yeah.
He's been in a million things.
Daryl does not compute.
Oh. Yeah, the part where he speeds up pole position doesn't compute. But.
No, at all. Because I think the Atari would blow up.
Yeah, but also, what is Daryl, Steven?
He's a highly sophisticated computerized robot.
Oh! I just think it's funny that on Entertainment Tonight, that all they do is Kim Kardashian shit now. Back in the 80s, did a little sidebar. They're like, hey, Leonard Maul, what did you think of the new movie Daryl that didn't even go on the top 5 this week in box office? Well, I'll tell you what I thought of Daryl. It's weird that they did that, isn't it?
It's weird that they actually covered entertainment topics as opposed to mindless drivel.
Right, exactly. People who have no talent getting headlines.
Oh, and one last final story. I just saw this. I'm so sorry. I wish I could have covered this in the news. But Christy McNichol has finally come out.
Hasn't she been out for a long time?
Shocker. Yeah, I know. And she said she's approaching 50, wants to be open about who she is, very sad about kids being bullied, and hope that coming out can help kids who need support. Yeah, Christy McNichol, completely and totally irrelevant.
Oh,
now.
Bill, how dare you?
Come on, man. She hasn't been in anything since...
But I understand what she's doing. There's kids out there who are gay, who kill themselves because of bullying. She's just trying
Absolutely.
To support them by coming.
Yeah. She can come out and say, hey, if you travel back to 1988, you can watch me on Empty Nest.
Oh, she was a lesbian in that. You can tell.
Yeah. Boy, she was a female cop who was kind of butch.
I love Christy McNichol back in the day, though. Come on. And remember her brother?
Jeff McNichol? No, I don't.
Her brother was the son on Alice, the sitcom. Remember?
Yeah.
What was his name? Peter McNichol?
Peter McNichol? That's her brother?
Yeah.
Hell yizzle.
Wasn't he in that one sword and sorcery movie? What the hell is it called?
Darby Dragons?
Jesus Christ. No. What the hell is that called? 80s.
You know what about her brother? He's also a lesbian, Bill.
Dragon Slayer.
Brittany Spears is a recreational lesbian.
What? Yeah. We're not talking about that, Regis.
Yeah, he was in Dragon Slayer, that Disney movie.
Oh, I love that video game. But also, Bill...
You're an asshole.
No! Dragon Slayer, Dragon Slayer. If you say it at the same time...
Oh. Oh, and he was the guy in Ghostbusters 2, the crazy little artist dude.
No, not that Vigo guy. I'm not talking about him. That's a different McNichol, right, Steven?
Yeah.
That's Fred.
Fred McNichol.
Yeah,
that's her uncle.
What the hell is that guy's name? I don't know. You're going to have to look on IMDb. But I've always thought of this. Like, Dragon's Lair and Dragon Slayer. If you say them side by side, it's hard to get them apart. Think about it.
Yeah, it is.
Dragon Slayer. Dragon's Lair.
I'm just absolutely... Yes.
Daryl does not compute.
Yes, neither do I, apparently. But also, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and send us an email. But where all the activity is, guys, is go to Facebook, and you'll find the Nowhere Mulberry Fan Club, right? Join that puppy, and you see lots of awesome posts and stuff and comments.
I think we have fun on that. It's lighthearted, and you can post whatever you want.
Lots of
laughter. Oh, that guy's name is spelt differently. Okay, so it's not his...
Right. But what's the guy on Alice's name is what I'm saying.
Oh. Let me look up Alice.
Yeah. Early to rise. Early to bed.
Like, crap, I'm having such a hard time with IMDb. No, I don't want Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. I want the TV show it was based on.
Going through life with blinders on. It's tough to see.
What was the lady's name in Alice?
Hello? Linda Lavin?
Linda Lavin. I'll look her up.
There we go. There's a new girl in town, and I'm feeling good.
Oh, Tebow in the chat room said that was Philip McKeon.
Oh, Nancy McKeon's brother. Sorry, my mistake.
Thank you. Tebow just saved me from having to dig through Linda Lavin's.
So, Christy McNichol is not related to Nancy McKeon, but she is related to Philip McKeon on Alice.
I'm so confused.
Oh, glib you per biggity blah blah goodbye.
Yeah, well, that's my mind right now.
Well, thank you for telling us that, because now Swiley doesn't have to correct us in the forum.
Yes.
All right, everybody, that's the show this week. We hope to see you next time. Have a good one. Laters. Woo!
This is one of the blandest movies I've seen all year.
It's not a movie. It's a show. What?
Bitch, aren't you?
Now this is podcasting.
All set up and no payoff. What?